80 countries, world the great country of all time. 1-0-5-5-80-COUNTRY, online, 80country.com.
Nationwide is a proud partner of minor league baseball. When life throws you a curveball, Nationwide protects you not out of the park. They really go back home. Let's come and go.
Open up for you. We offer all the residential and commercial pressure washing needs, including siding, roof, and tent washing. We offer 10% off military and first responders discount. Visit the Hill Council and receive $100 off your services.
They've got some notes on them.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I don't have much. A little bit.
I know they can pitch. That's about all I know.
That is for sure.
Should I pull up the info that accidentally got sent to me earlier?
What info is that?
All their scouting stuff.
That's not right. That's funny.
Batting 6th, first baseman number 25, Pablo Guerrero. Batting 7th, right fielder number 5, Eurymy Cabrera. Batting 8th, designated hitter number 15, Vader Barroso. And batting 9th, left fielder number 24, Marco Torres. On the mound for Cavs number 18, Thomas Ireland. And now the starting lineup for your Lynchburg Hillcats. Leading things off, shortstop number 1, well-being Francisca. Batting 2nd, center fielder number 8, Jason Torrio. Batting 3rd, first baseman number 46, Luis Lurejo. Batting 4th, second baseman number 10, Christian Nasquez. Batting 5th, right fielder number 5, Tony Hawk. Batting 6th, third baseman number 2, Juan Benjamin. Batting 7th, left fielder number 12, Barrett Reebok. Batting 8th, doing the catching number 11, Manuel Mejias. And batting 9th, doing the catching of the game hitter number 7, Fred Altuve. All down, number 32, Kyle Stott. You'll get the man in front of 39, Jordan Smith. Good night, Blackman Barbecue Hot Dinners, where Jason Furio, Christian Kastnick, and Tony Hawk. Any of these three get a whole run, we'll have Blackman Barbecue coupon available at Provo Booth. Blackman Barbecue is serving an authentic barbecue inspired by flavors from the South. Rare, slow-smoked pulled pork, sausage, or wing. Check out our best demo on Facebook or visit our website at blackmanbarbecue.com. The man tonight's Devil Crackle strikeout batter is left fielder number 24, Marco Flores. If he strikes out at any point, Devil Crackle will be discounted for a limited time. So when he comes to the plate, cheer on that strikeout.
May freedom forever fly. Let it bring salute the ones who die. The ones that give their lives so we don't have to sacrifice. All we need is thy God's kingdom. No fear on Friday night. America's a picture of Christ. Yes, we
for just $1. You heard that right. All you can play is just $1 when you sign up to learn more about the Virginia 529 Smart Saver Program. Having fun saving money? It's a smart thing to do. Visit the first base count course behind Section 3 to learn more.
We are back in Hill City, Lynchburg, Virginia, for the second to last homestand to be played at the Bank of the James Stadium this season. Thank you for joining me on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network. Connor Young with you. As we get ready for a fresh six-game slate between the Wood Ducks and the Hillcats, which will be getting underway in just a little less than 20 minutes or so. But before we get there, let's start off the pregame show as we always always do with the series recap. Boy, Mother Nature certainly was a factor in the Hillcast previous series on the road in Fayetteville. The Cats and Woodpeckers were scheduled for a 6-game series, as they always are, but they would only get through 4 games by the time it was all said and done due to weather straight out canceling 2 of the contests. Lynchburg would end up getting the better end of the pairing. They took 3 out of the 4 games off of the Woodpeckers. The biggest reason why was the offense. The Cats were hitting in with power. Alfredo Antunez, Jason Churio, Ralphie Velasquez, Luis Morejo, and Wellbeing Francisca all launched long balls in the short 4-game series. 2 of those players, Ralphie Velasquez and Alfredo Antunez, are no longer on the Hillcats roster. They both set sail for Lake County to join the Captains at High. In the process, Lynchburg had 4 new recruits called up on Monday to join the club for the rest of the way through the season. Lynchburg, they found success in the wet and rainy Segra Stadium. They would love to bring that hot streak to the Bank of the James, where we have been blessed with a perfect Virginian August day for baseball. This Tuesday evening, we'll meet some of those new Hillcat Cubs in just a moment. Now, let's take a look at the starting pitching pairing to start off this series. Kyle Scott will lead things off for Lynchburg. He hasn't pitched since July, his last start coming on July 31st, due to his scheduled start against Fayetteville being scrapped along with the whole game due to the pesky rain. So Scott will get his first appearance back on the bump in a while tonight. Scott, he's been switched around back and forth between a bullpen role and a starting role this season, but despite all the changes that have left him in limbo at times, he has been solid for Jordan Smith in both roles this year. For the Ducks, John Ireland will twirl the pill on the hill. Ireland was born in Regina, Canada, and was taken in the 13th round of the 2021 MLB draft. He spent time with the Wood Ducks last year in 2023 to middling success. However, this will be just his first start of the season with the Ducks in 2024 after making 1 relief appearance on August 2nd. Now take a look at what's happening around the Carolina League through the out-of-town scoreboard, as well as overview the standings in the North and South divisions. Starting with the schedule. Earliest start time is right here in Lynchburg, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We're about to get going. So is Kannapolis and Charleston from Atrium Health Ballpark. They're going to get going at 6:30 as well. Salem and Fredericksburg, 2 teams near the top of the North. The first and second in the North Division will have a 6-game set in Fredericksburg starting today. And that's one for both the Wood Ducks and the Hillcats to keep their eye on for sure. Carolina Delmarva, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, first pitch scheduled. And Delmarva, they look to continue to try to claw themselves out of that bottom spot. They're inching closer to Lynchburg with each passing game. They've been playing some better baseball as of late. Columbia, Myrtle Beach, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start time. Fayetteville and Augusta, SRP Park, 7:05 p.m. start as well, as Augusta currently with the worst record in the second half of the Carolina League at 10-29. They have found that 10th win, gotten into double digits, but they're in danger of dropping their 30th already through just 40 games. With that, let's take a look at the standings. Already mentioned a couple of the teams, including Fredericksburg and Salem, who are in the first and second spot. Salem 2 games out of Fredericksburg, who currently have the crown by a slim margin. In Downey's, just a half game behind Salem, along with Carolina. They're both 2.5 games from first. So from here on out, for Downey's, every win, all that more important. Lynchburg 19-21, 6 games out of first place, with Delmarva behind them at 17-25. In the South, Charleston, they're in the top spot, 2.5 game lead over Columbia in second. It's really, at this point, a 2-team race, although Myrtle Beach would like to change that. They're currently 4 games out at 19-18. Fayetteville, 18-22 after the setback against Lynchburg, where they lost 3 out of the 4 games. They're in the 4th spot as of now. Kannapolis, the first half winner, in 5th, and Augusta rounding it out in the final spot in the South. Let's now take a look at the starting lineups, meeting this starting 9 for Lynchburg first. Wellbeing Francisca leading off and playing shortstop. He had a fantastic game on Sunday, going 3-for-4 with a home run and an RBI along with a walk. Just a triple shy of the cycle. Jason Churio will bat second. Luis Moreno will play first and bat third. In the middle, Napchick, Hawk, and Benjamin, 4-5-6, with Reebok, Mejias, and Aldui rounding it out for the Cats. Carlos Maldonado has ordered down east as follows. Jose De Jesus, center fielder, will lead things off. Yesdery Vargas will play shortstop and bat second, a top-ranked prospect in the Rangers system. Casey Cook, he'll play second, bat third. Julian Brock will do the cleanup honors and catch for the Wood Ducks. Rafe Parrish will bat fifth. Pablo Guerrero plays first, bat sixth. Yuremi Cabrera, seventh. Baker Barroso, eighth. And Marcos Torres, bats ninth. I already spoke on the four new players Lynchburg called up on Monday. I'll tell you what, there have been so many call-ups, both to High A Lake County and up to the club here in Lynchburg, it's enough to make your head spin. Luckily for you all, you'll get a chance to meet one of the newest Hillcats in just a few short moments next on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show.
Let's send it to the Hillcats broadcaster, Jason Brook.
Thanks, Andre.
Hey, the Hillcats fans, it's time for a look at the last season. We gained the first of which cleans the pick up double-digit hits in the last four home games. The Hillcats have picked up at least 10 hits, if not more, on their way to a 3-1 record. The trip line in 3-4 wins, and so if they can pick up double-digit hits, they'll be set up very well to stay in the win column today. The second key to tonight's ball game is to return Austin Peterson to form. The Hillcats right-hander has been one of the best pitchers in the Carolina League. However, on Tuesday, he had a rougher outing, only throwing 3 innings. So if he can return back to his strong form that we've seen for about the last month and a half, he should be set up well to keep Lynchburg on the win. Back to you, Andre. Those were tonight's keys to the game presented by the Tom Miller team.
Hey, Hillcats fans, how would you like to win a current pair of tickets to any upcoming game of your choice? Plus, you automatically register to win our Skybox. It's easy. Just text my name, Mike, that's M-I-K-E, to 85775. That's Mike, to 85775. To register data and messaging regularly, apply text Mike, to 85775. Right now, the Hillcats tickets and we have a run to win our Skybox. Welcome to the show and radio 434.
Williams, how you can make every day feel like game day with over 1,500 colors and a top tier coaching staff to bring the energy and good tea to your home. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherman Williams store today.
Stadium, like I said, a lot of new faces in the bullpen and position players alike. Catch you up on all of them when you come back on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Jason Pro will lead us the rest of the way through. And remember, after the last out is recorded this evening, stick around for the postgame show with yours truly, Connor Young. We'll recap the game and take one final glance around the Carolina League. First, Hillcats baseball from the Hill City is right around the corner. It's good to be back here in Lynchburg.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome inside Bank of the James Stadium as the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Down East Wood Ducks will square off for game number one of this six-game series. Jason Burrow alongside Connor Young, welcoming you back to Lynchburg, the Hill City, after a week apart where it was a week that not much baseball actually got played, Connor.
Yeah, Lynchburg and the Woodpeckers only got through four games, like you said, just due to the constant weather they were battling down in Fayetteville. You know, in the baseball that was played, Lynchburg looked pretty good, especially that offense popping for over 20 runs in one of the games. And with the bats that really carried them all the way throughout, some of those bats have now moved on to Lake County. But as always, they've been ushered in by some new faces. We're excited to meet them here in the Bank of the James Stadium.
This is a team that has seen, we counted it, 14 new players come to town in the last 3 weeks. This is a totally new ball club from the last time they were in Lynchburg, let alone a month ago. Connor, I'm excited to see the new guys. The ones we've seen from the first round of call-ups at the end of July, they have been performing quite well. You think of Francisco, you think of Morejo. They have been key contributors at the top in the middle of the lineup, and now we have additive new guys, both out of the bullpen and now tonight coming off the bench. Who are you most excited to see from this new group of guys?
Yeah, all of them bring different flashes of things that you're interested in. Some of them fitting that classic Cleveland mold, some smaller middle infield guys, left-handed bats, guys like Garrett Howe, who we talked about a little bit earlier in the pregame show. Others bring a little bit of a different flavor. You think of Bennett Thompson, the backstop, the former Oregon Duck, who was drafted in the 13th round by Cleveland, held an impressive .286 batting average with the Ducks this past college season. It also brings a veteran season catching repertoire with him as well, a right-handed hitter. So, like I said, you see some guys who, you think about earlier in this year, it was a team fully comprised of left-handed hitters or switch hitters, which you almost never see. You got a lot more guys batting from that side of the plate, but we've seen some more righties as well. It's an interesting crop of talent, and like you said, if they are anything close to what we saw from Luis Morejo, who already has 3 home runs under his belt in just 2 series, or Francisca, who has been batting at just about a .400 pace while playing a decent shortstop. If you can get anything close to that, you're going to be very happy if you're the Cleveland Guardians organization, especially Lynchburg Hillcats.
You're exactly right, Connor. These guys have jumped right in and not missed any sort of beat at Morejo and Francisca. They're hoping for the same. I mean, look at guys like Donovan Zach out of the bullpen as well. He jumped in, had a great first appearance in Fayetteville, where he won 1 1/3, only striking out 1 and walking 2, but he did not allow an earned run either. And so these young guys, they're coming in and they're making a name for themselves. The Hillcats have 4 more in store for us this week, but none of them in the starting lineup tonight against Down East and a pitching staff that are far and away the best in the Carolina League. Connor, they lead the Carolina League by .45 points in ERA.
Yeah, it's an ERA on the team of 3.01. Almost a team-wide ERA sub-3. You're not going to find that in many professional clubs anywhere in Major League Baseball or the minors. Pretty impressive staff. Now, it's hard to tell how many of those guys have been juggled around, as all of these teams are seeing similar call-ups and shifting around rosters. Maybe not as much as we've seen here in Lynchburg, but still, you know the core of this Down East Wood Duck starting rotation and bullpen is the best of the best in the Carolina League this season.
And the other thing to note is it's a battle of strengths in the pitching versus Hillcats lineup matchup. For Down East, they do not walk batters. They allow the fewest walks in the Carolina League. But on the flip side, Lynchburg have the most walks as a team on the hitting side.
Right.
And so something's bound to give. And in this type of matchup, what do you think has the advantage? Is it the pitching staff that doesn't walk guys, or is it the hitters who have a great opportunity?
Yeah, with just how good this Wood Duck staff has been, you know, it's tough to bet against them. Lynchburg, like you said, do have the most walks in the Carolina League at .497. If I'm Lynchburg, one thing I want to lean into is that power. We saw it against Fayetteville. It felt like we were turning back to the Hillcats late April form with home runs from Roundy Velasquez, Alfredo Antunez, Francisca, Morejo. If we can see some of that back in the Bank of the James Stadium, that would be a sight for sure eyes and would help this Hillcats offense a lot.
Well, a It's almost time for baseball here in the Hill City. So right now we'll toss it down to our PA announcer, Steve Stillwell. It's his birthday today. He gets us all set for the Hill County defense and the national anthem.
Inside, thank you to James Stadium as the Lynchburg Hill Cats and the Down East Wood Ducks get set up for game number one. Kyle Scott has been out of the starting rotation this season. Getting his ninth start and his first in the month of August. After he had his appearance last week, scratched due to the wild weather we currently have down in Fayetteville. But on the season, he's 5-3 with a 3.39 ERA. The 6-1 right-hander has pitched pretty well throughout this campaign.
Not for sure. With the depletion of the starting pitching rotation over the last couple of weeks with all the roster movement, Kyle Scott now is put in the position of being potentially Lynchburg's most consistent and dependable starting arm. With Jackson Humphreys up in that mix, but it's one of those two guys who have had a decent track record in Lynchburg this season. Scott, on the season, you talked about the numbers: 5-3 record, 3.39 ERA overall. In his last start against Fredericksburg, he went 4 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. I should correct myself: not a start, but an appearance in relief in that matchup. On the year, his ERA just a couple points higher than his July ERA. He came out to a rough April with a 4.86 third run average in that opening month, and then after that, settled right on in. He currently leads all starters in the Lynchburg club with the 3.39 ERA, the 69 innings pitched, and the 71 strikeouts. on the season. So Kyle Scott, at this point, one of the Hillcat Nets in the starting rotation.
And he'll face a lineup for down east that's middle of the pack in terms of the Carolina.
Jose DeJesus will lead off and play center field. It's Jenry Vargas, the shortstop, that second. He's a top prospect. We'll talk about it a little bit. Casey Hook, that's third. Julian Rock, fifth. Rafe Parrish, fifth. Pablo Guerrero, sixth. With Cabrera, Barroso, and Torres rounding out the order 7-8-9 for down east today.
It'll be Jose DeJesus. DeJesus batting 452, no home runs, no RBIs, and an OPS of just over 900 in very limited action. Scott kicks and delivers. A strike right across the plate for tonight's first pitch at 90 miles an hour. 6:33, the first pitch time here on August 13th. 80 degrees and cloudy skies up above. DeJesus pops it up and out of play, strike two. Down east has a lineup that do not like to walk, whereas their pitchers have issued the fewest walks, their hitters have taken the fewest walks in the Carolina League. And they have the third most strikeouts as well. So it could be a good day for Hillcats pitching in terms of the strikeouts. 0-2. It's topped over toward first. Morejo will take it himself and beat DeJesus to the back for out number one. And that's how we finish.
Talked about the propensity that Wood Ducks have for going down via the strikeout. Kyle Scott with 8 strikeouts, his high on the season. He's also got 5 innings. That's his max. Fastball, sinker, changeup, slider. And he can work that fastball up to around 93, 94. He'll sit low 90s.
Jenry Vargas, he's got a good campaign building as that misses down and away for ball one. He's batting a touch under 280, 12 home runs, 40 RBIs. OPS of below 800. Scott fires it across the plate for a strike, one ball, one strike. Vargas at short tonight for the Wood Ducks. 1-1. Fouled away for strike two, and Scott, head of the first two hitters he's faced. Vargas, the highest ranked Wood Duck of the MLB Pipeline top 30 list. He's ranked 18th. 1-2. Got him. First strikeout of the night for the Hillcats belongs to Kyle Scott. Jenry Vargas is retired. Round number two, bring in Casey Hook. And that puts the Hillcats one strikeout away from 1,000 as a team. Casey Cook, a 200 hitter. It's the nod at second base today as he fights it off foul for strike one.
Lynchburg playing the lefty Cook to pull. As he strolled in the batter's box, they all shift over to the first base side. Benjamin, 5 steps or so to the left of where you would usually see a shortstop play.
Once again, Scott ahead in the AB. The ball's 2 strikes to Cook. Cook making his third appearance of the season, so very limited data for whether or not he's a pull hitter, at least at this point. The 0-2. Topped up the middle. Francisco will charge it and take his time flipping on to first. Pretty tired of the side. The 1-2-3 first inning for Scott. And we are scoreless heading to the bottom half of the frame.
For 25 years, we focused on developing the strength of our business. We know that the trust of our customers, partners, and employees by delivering exceptional service and maintaining the integrity of our core values. And we're trying to make good on our position for each of our communities. Great trust, and standing on this foundation is strong and stay ready for you. I'm Bob Chapman, and I invite you to thank you.
If your Hillcat fortified dresses sell out late, the first 100 days were even bubble around the people on it. Once in a while, the Commodore Grove is a place to celebrate before and after Hillcat games. Join us for their bonus weekend in Jersey, as well as happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Plus, by becoming a Blazer Rewards member, you can score 3 meetups through to him or just for your loyalty. Buffalo Rogers Commodore Grove is Lynchburg, the greatest of all time.
Two of them, the Donald has swapped as a double of the game. The Hillcats player hit a double pin, sending the swap in the double sections, will go home with a 3-3 double coupon, courtesy of Cooper Family and Donald. The Hillcats double section is section 3.
We head to the bottom half of the first inning, and on the bump for the Wood Ducks is Ireland. No, not the country. Thomas Ireland taking to the bump. Left-hander out of Canada, crossing all sorts of oceans today. Left-hander, he's made very limited action as Connor comes through the numbers.
Yeah, for Ireland, all we've seen of him at the Carolina League level this year is one relief outing where he was denominated. 5 innings, so a long relief role. 3 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. He did pick up the win in that game as well, so now he'll be trusted with the start. For Ireland, he did have time with Carolina. Last year, he pitched in 5 games with the Wood Ducks in 2023. This is his first start where he made 2 one season ago, his first start this year in a Wood Duck uniform.
Obi and Francisca is the first batter for the Hillcats tonight. He had himself quite a weekend in Fayetteville as he takes below the zone, but called a strike on a check swing 0-2. He's got his average up to .382, 1 home run, 6 RBIs, and he's only been here for 2 weeks. 2-strike pitch from the lefty. Swung over top, and one away. Good pitch from Thomas Ireland. As Ireland made quick work of Francisca, he looks sharp already.
Yeah, 3 pitches only needed to get rid of the leadoff hitter. We'll bring up Jason Curio with Wilfredo Antunes. And Rodney Velasquez moving up to high. When you look at the team leaders as far as players currently on the roster, Curio leads in average hits, RBIs, runs, doubles, home runs, on-base percentage, walks, and stolen bases. And he was in contention to lead in those categories while Ralphie and Antunes were here as well in the second or third spot for most of the season in those categories. He has been just a complete ball player for the Hillcats in 2024.
And the other thing to note, he's up into the 2-hole
right
where Ralphie Velasquez sat for much of the season, if not the entirety of the season. Curio typically a 3-hole hitter, now bats second. Off the end of the bat, up the first base line, Ireland will toss on to first and beat Curio by a step. There's 2 down. Kind of an awkward swing by Curio. He came up and in.
No, it looked like it was an inside-out battle. By his body language is how he followed through on that swing. It looked like he was going to pull it. His head had flew completely out, looking over at his own dugout. But the bat just barely making contact off the end cap with that ball, sending it down the first base line. And that'll bring up Marejo being slotted into the 3-hole for the first time in a while. 2 for 3 with 2 home runs, 4 RBIs in his last game for Lynchburg. How about that?
He drives this one to the right center field gap. That'll drop, and he'll continue where he's left off as arguably the Hillcats' best hitter over the last 2 weeks. So he picks up the first hit of the night for either bat. Didn't try to do too much. Oftentimes, Moreno, he likes to showcase his power and plug the gaps or try to carry one out. He just placed it in right center field. Picked up the easy base knock.
Yeah, he took a pitch on the outside half and went with it. Beautiful swing and single for Christian Napchik. Napchik and Tommy Hawk, they have been slotted more of middle-of-the-order guys since, Francisca made the move to the leadoff spot, and they've been great in that role.
First pitch taken as a strike on the outside corner by Christian Napchik. Napchik batting .265, 35 RBIs on the year. Marejo takes his leadoff of first. Ireland kicks and delivers. Check swing on the appeal, and he did not go, says Tyler Green in the field. Michael Cross behind the dish tonight. Torres de Jesus Cabrera from left to right in the outfield for down east. Parrish, Vargas, Cook, and Guerrero on the infield, and then Brock behind the dish. 1-1 from Ireland. Missing high, 2 balls in the strike. I wonder who Ireland was rooting for in the Olympics. Canada? Ireland, the U.S.
Yeah, he's got a couple options to choose from there.
The 2-1 from the lefty. Fouled away by Napchick. It's 2-2.
Napchick cleaning up for Lynchburg today. Tommy Hawk batting behind him. Those two in those same spots. They would combine for 5 hits and 7 chances between the two speedsters in Lynchburg's last game against Fayetteville.
The 2-2 pitch. Runner takes off. The pitch is down and away. A throw down by Brock. And Rayhill goes in standing and picks up the stolen base. How often do you see a standing stolen base of second on the throw down? If it works, it works. It's Marejo. That'll be in scoring position. Full count on Christian Napchick. That's Marejo's first stolen base of the season. 3-2. Flared to left field. Going to be a tough play for Parrish as he can't make the grab. He just kept trailing away from it. Lands harmlessly in foul territory. I still can't get over that stolen base.
Yeah, looked like a bit of an awkward last-minute decision for Marejo. Just kept the foot outstretched, didn't hit the deck, and he got in safely. You know, if you don't in that situation, you might hear something from Jordan Smith on your way back to the dugout, but all that ends well, I suppose, for Marejo.
Once again, the 3-2 from Ireland. Up and in, that caught him. And Napchick will head down to first. Napchick, on this season, that is only the 13th time he's been hit by a pitch. Time and time again, found a way to get on base, even if it means he's got to do it the hard way.
Yeah, he's not going to move through the pitch on the inside half. He'll take his free base, which, like you said, is a big reason why he holds an on-base percentage over .387, nearing .390. For a guy with a batting average of .265 to have a batting or an on-base percentage getting around the .400 territory is pretty impressive.
Tommy Hawk, head of the count, 1-0. He's up to .275 batting average, and he lines that one right into the fifth row. Some fans scattering around. 1-1. Hawk and Napchick have been staples in the Hillcats lineup all season. Look at the guys who were here at the beginning of the year. That's the 1-1 call to strike. Really, at this point, it's Churio, Napchick, Hawk, and Mejias who had regular playing time. Benjamin did not get regular playing time really until June. Here's the 2-strike pitch as Ireland tries to work out of a jam. Just missed off the corner. Brock was ready to throw it around the horn to end the inning. Nevertheless, off with a good eye, 1-2.
Yeah, there's been 9 different current or former top 30 prospects in the Cleveland organization that have cycled through Lynchburg this year as well. We've been spoiled in that regard. Just 3 remain, Churio, Francisca, and Humphreys.
We expect others will soon be added at the end of the season as Brock wants to have a word with Ireland. He seems to be frustrated by his start here. We talked about how good he was in his last outing. 5 innings, only 3 hits, but already 2 base runners aboard in the first inning. He's up at 20 pitches so far. You were saying we expect guys like Luis Marejo to make that list at some point in time.
Definitely deserves a look.
The 2-2. Little topper right back to the mound. Could be a second play for Ireland. He makes it. The inning is over. Lynchburg threatens. They do not score as we remain scoreless heading to the second. Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. I have to figure out what's going on with this if I'm not back in time.
Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah, man.
sponsor of the Hillcats rivalry. Go to Daniel Jake for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs located at 14179 Wolf Road across from the Woodshore Airport, or visit us on the web at danieljcompanies.com.
Nope, this is the only way.
Attention baseball fans, are you ready to tackle the third side lane?
Kyle Scott able to get through the top half of the first. 1-2-3 logging a strikeout as well. He'll approach the top of the second, taking on Julian Brock. Braden Parrish and Pablo Guerrero, the middle of this Wood Duck order. We talked about it already, Jason. The Wood Duck's not a team that likes to take the free pass all that much. Definitely a group of free swingers. But in some ways, that pays off for them in the long run. They hit home runs at a high pace. One of the bigger clips in the Carolina League. They trail only the Myrtle Beach Pelicans at 75 long balls on the year with 70 round trippers to this point. To compare that with Lynchburg, who has 55, the Hillcats, they're starting to get that power stroke back, and we saw that against Fayetteville, hoping to bring that home. But one thing that you have to be aware of if you're Kyle Scott or any pitcher in this Lynchburg staff is you can't let downies make you pay with the long ball.
And Lynchburg has had trouble with that this season. They're second in the Carolina League, having allowed 72 home runs on the season. Julian Brock, he's got four of them for Fayetteville as he takes downstairs for ball one. Though I would argue that it's been a slowed pace from where it's been at the start of the year to now in terms of how many home runs were given up. So 1-0 sky right at home plate. Mejias turns and watches and waves. Strike. It was a torrid pace.
Yeah.
No team was even close in terms of home runs allowed. Really through the month of May, even into June. But ever since then, the Hillcats have kind of trickled it back a little bit. It's the 1-1. Off the zone, one ball, two strikes. And even furthermore, you could argue that as the weather has warmed up elsewhere, more teams have been able to hit home runs, which have allowed the other pitching staffs to increase their home run count. I mean, at one point in time, Lynchburg being second in that number would have been hard to believe. Line drive by Brock will give the Wood Ducks their first base runner. Brent Parrish in his at-bat. One home run allowed more than Lynchburg. They're at 73, the Hillcats at 72. Woodpeckers can thank the Hillcats for that number after the torrid pace, which you talked about. They had five home runs in one game in that 20-run ball game on Saturday. That wrapped around the outside corner for strike one. Two Hillcats in that ball game had two home runs. Wilfredo Antunez and Luis Morejo. And Jason Churio tacked on the final one. Throw it to first. It probably would have had Brock, and they throw it away. Morejo couldn't scoop it. Brock into scoring position now in the air. Parrish, runner in scoring position. Nobody out in the top of the second inning. One of Antunez's home runs was even a grand slam, which contributed to his call-up.
Feel like you're going to need at least one of those if you're going to put up 20 on a club.
And they did it, I believe, on, was it 11 hits or 14 hits? Some number well below the 20 mark.
Yeah. Those home runs, they really make life a lot easier for you.
The thing that I took from that ball game, and I was looking at the stats, is the two teams combined for 31 runs on 31 hits.
That's insane.
1-1. Popped up behind the dish. The Heats will give it a look, and it lands in the seats. 1-2. Parrish will look to see another pitch. Bats were hot in Fayetteville, despite the wicked weather. First three games of that series all rained out. Well, they ended up canceling one of them initially. It rained out on Sunday as well as part of the doubleheader. Only played four games. 1-2. Off the end of the bat. Into left field. Reebok. will give way to Churio, who will make the grab. The runner fakes score at third, but a good strong throw will hold him. Good job by Churio to get that in quick.
Yeah, Churio, you lead your team in all those statistical categories like you talked about, and then he plays a pretty decent center field as well with a good arm. Showcases both there. It'll bring up Pablo Guerrero, who in a small sample size has been a good hitter for the Wood Ducks. Seems like they also have had a lot of new guys fluctuating through that lineup. See a lot of guys with 8 RBIs, less than 10 OPSs, high in the 900s. For Guerrero, his OPS currently sits at 886 with an average of 296 in a small sample size for the Wood Ducks. 1-0 count to Guerrero. Scott will look in, get the sign from his catcher, Mejias. His delivery is bounced foul. Coming into this week, the season series favors Downey 6-3 against Lynchburg. In their last series in Kinston, the two teams split in a hard-fought 6-game series. However, the first series of the season for both teams was a 3-0 Downey's sweep as Kyle Scott steals a strike on the inside half to get in the driver's seat 1-2. Downey is currently in third place in the second half standings of the North Division at 21-16, 2.5 games from first. Lynchburg in fourth place, in fifth, excuse me, as Kyle Scott will try to dart the outside half with a slider. Guerrero leads off and will even up the count. Their fifth place record, 19-21, 6 games out of first place. Fredericksburg Nationals, of course, in that top spot. The 2-2 from Kyle Scott. Flared foul. It'll get out of play on the right side, and we'll do it again. Guerrero plays first base today. He had a 1-for-2, 1 RBI day on Sunday in a Sunday evening that was also supposed to be a doubleheader for the Wood Ducks, so they would play 7 in the first game, as the curveball is bounced to the shortstop. Francisco throws across the diamond to retire Guerrero. 2 down. But much like Lynchburg and Fayetteville, Myrtle Beach and Down East would not play their second scheduled doubleheader game, and that would be canceled, and they would only play the 1 7-inning affair. The weather in that Carolina mid-Atlantic and here in Virginia as well a bit really was playing a factor for all the teams across the Carolina League. One strike to Yuremi Cabrera, 1-for-3 with the strikeout on Saturday against the Pelicans for Cabrera. Two down, Julian Brock leads off third base, 90 feet away from scoring. It's a 1-1 count to the right fielder Cabrera. He bats 222, no homers, 3 RBIs. The 1-1 from Scott. Pop straight up, Mejias, he'll toss the mask and have a play. Benjamin, the third baseman, will patrol over to help him out, but Mejias will take care of it himself. And Kyle Scott will induce a pop out to get out of the inning. Home half of the second coming up next as Lynchburg looks to put up the first run on the board. We're tied up with goose eggs as we head towards the bottom of the second.
And this time, I'd like to welcome home in Group 2 back in the James Stadium, Virginia Commonwealth and the Waymaker Church. Are you looking for a fun place to host a party? Whether you're hosting clients, entertaining employees, celebrating a birthday party, raising funds for your organization, or simply taking a volume of a group of people, the Hillcats will put together custom packages to make sure your event is a success. For more information, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
And your attention to the video for tonight is April 1. Welcome to your wallet. Shuffle. There's the card. He cracked. Help me out. Is it number 1, number 2, or number 3? Everybody say number 2. And the winner is? It's number 2. Thanks for playing. Number 1. Welcome to your wallet. Shuffle.
Juan Benjamin will lead off the bottom of the second for Lynchburg. And Thomas Ireland will head back out after he breathed past the first two hitters for Lynchburg while being preseason and Jason Curio. His pace will be slowed up by back-to-back base runners Moreno with a single, and then Christian Knapchick will get on with a full count hit by pitches, 13th of the season. Tommy Hawk will bounce out to the pitcher Ireland himself to end the inning, which brings us to Juan Benjamin's at-bat. He bats 268, two homers, 45 RBIs, as he'll have a swing at the first pitch and ground it foul down the third base side for strike one. Benjamin, he had a red-hot July. His batting average through that month would end over 390, which helped his batting average out a lot, which was hovering around the Mendoza line. Moved it all the way up to 268. It was around 280. As the 0-2 to Benjamin is slapped to the shortstop, as Vargas will throw across the diamond to get Benjamin just in the nick of time, one down. Benjamin, he struggled a little bit in the last two series against Fredericksburg and on the road against Fayetteville. One of the few hitters, you could say, didn't have the best series against the Woodpeckers in Lynchburg's lineup. He'll be retired with the first out of the inning, which will bring up Garrett Reebok, who took a 1-for-4 on Sunday. First pitch to Reebok. Breaking ball that finds the inside half for strike one. Ireland had a good command of the strike zone so far today. The 0-1. Grounded to second. Cook gets him in time. Two down. Ireland, much like the first, works through the first two Hillcats hitters he sees in a hurry. It was the third hitter of the inning, one frame ago, that would keep it going a little longer. Luis Moreno picked up his third base hit in his last four at-bats, and Manuel Mejia follows the trend, a stinger up the middle. Ireland does his best just to let it go through the wicket, so that ball was stung on the ground. And the inning will continue for the Hillcats. Chico Rowley in its infancy as Cranall doing the nine-hitter. Bat with Mejia's leading off first.
It's a nice easy swing by Manuel Mejia's. Just took it right back up the middle. And you need guys like that to continue to get going. Had a good series down in Fayetteville, picked up some hits. Even the week before then, he started to show some signs of life. You want some production out of your catcher position. If you can get that, like he was producing even close to what he had at the beginning of the year, and he has to become a tremendous asset. Aldewey swings and misses upstairs for strike one. Aldewey batting 183, no home runs, 8 RBIs, an OPS of 466. Still scoreless, bottom of the second inning. The 0-1. High and wide, one ball, one strike. Aldewey has really become the utility infielder and will maintain that role upon losing Kevin Rivas. He's called up to Lake County. 1-1 flared into shallow left center field. Left fielder Torres makes the running grab and the inning comes to a close. We head to the third. Scoreless in the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
It's time for the Brigo third inning, where a Brigo beer is $3 off during the entire third inning. That offers any concession stand is serving Brigo beer for $3 off. Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Craft Drink Falls Tampa. Campsites right on the river, full of rustic cabins and bathrooms and hot water. Craft Drink Falls Tampa is your place to stay this summer.
Looking at just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Jackson Falls campground is just a half mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.craftfreefallscampground.com to book your stay.
Also, Torres in the top of the order, Jose De Jesus to bat here in the top of the third inning. Kyle Scott back on the bump for Jordan Smith and Lynchburg. At the Westminster, Maryland native, was drafted in the 15th round of the 2023 draft with a 458th pick. 21 years of age, the right-hander has been very solid in his first full season of minor league baseball. Take a look at his middle months. May and June. 270 ERA in the month of May. 287 in the month of June. Popped straight up by Barroso, just barely in foul play. Mejias will battle it and make the draft. So back to back. The counts are reported by Kyle Scott. He is a pop out to the catcher with contact for the Wood Ducks. Scott will pray on that as long as he can. Marcos Torres. Currently, Torres ranked within the top 30 of the Texas Rangers farm system and in the 26th spot as it stands. The big reason why Torres would get a Rangers fan excited is his 6'3 frame at 19 years old, and there's some pop in that bat. Got 6 home runs to his name this year, and the power potential is certainly his best asset. Now, he is a bit of a free swinger, and he has had some trouble with the swing and miss for down east, but you always know when he's in the box, he can make you pay with one swing. The 0-2, a curveball that just barely glances the lead leg of Marcos Torres, and that'll be a free base and an 0-2 count where Torres was looking awfully uncomfortable. Instead, it's the second hit batter we've seen today, the first for down east. You know, put a runner on for the top of the order. Torres with 104 strikeouts on the season to lead the club, the only player on the Wood Ducks in the triple digits of that category. Not exactly approaching Elijah Green territory. De Jesus will swing at the first pitch and drive it into left center. Jason Churio will patrol over to make the grab. First pitch out for the leadoff man. Two down for Kyle Scott as he looks to limit the damage after allowing Torres to reach in an 0-2 count. Vargas, 277 average, 12 home runs, 40 RBIs. We talked about it in his last at-bat. He's been with the Wood Ducks all season long and has been, especially to this point, their most consistent hitter. He struck out in the first. Did have a 2-for-3 day with an RBI on Sunday in the 7-inning affair against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. The 1-0. Line to left field. That's going to get over the head of Reebok as it's crushed right off the base of the wall. And it'll be a stand-up double for Vargas as the throw will miss the cutoff man and roll all the way to the third baseman, Benjamin. And you see why he has an average north of 270 and an OPS near 800. Great bat-to-ball skills, fast hands. He turns on an inside fastball. And he showcases the pop as well, as that ball was into the outfield and onto the warning track in a hurry. Blinking, you'll miss it. Casey Cook now. Two ducks on the pond for the Wood Ducks. As the second baseman three-hole hitter will have a chance to put some damage on the scoreboard for the first time this evening for either team. First pitch to the lefty. Outside, ball one. no score, two hits apiece for each club. We're in the top of the third, runners on second and third in a 1-0 count to Casey Cook, who offers, did he go? Looks like he fouled that one off just on the inside part of the handle. It was tough to tell if Mejia just bobbled it or if Cook was able to make contact with that pitch on the inside part of the plate. It looks like he did. So it'll be a 1-1 count. Cook from North Carolina, former Tar Heel, gets to stay in same state he played college ball in with the Wood Ducks, at least for now, as Kyle Scott gets past him on a swing and a miss at a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. 1-2 count to the left-handed second baseman, Kyle Scott. His 1-2 swung on and missed upstairs. Kyle Scott loves it as he high-steps it off the mound. Scratch 2 in scoring position for Down East as we head toward the bottom of the third inning, still in search of our first run. For Lynchburg, it'll be the top of the order. Francisca, Churio, and Marejo do up in the bottom of the third.
Sounds good. No worries, I got it. No worries. Good luck. Starting out with you on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network as Ireland heads back out on the bump for the Wood Ducks. Just one strikeout to his name at this point in his five-inning relief appearance. He was able to punch out five on August 2nd. Lynchburg, not a team to go down via the strikeout all that much, although Ireland has been able to set down all but two Hillcats relatively quickly. Marejo and Mejias, both with singles, the two lone base hits under Lynchburg's belt to this point. 1-1 count to Francisca. Francisca's batting average at 371. OPS of 993. Almost a 1-dot OPS. One homer, six RBIs in his short tenure with the Hillcats. The 1-2 to the shortstop is tapped to the shortstop. Vargas, one shortstop to another for the first out of the inning. Jason Churio, he was retired after bouncing back to the pitcher. Ireland in the bottom of the first. It's been weak contact, primarily all on the ground for the Hillcats. Thomas Ireland has been more than willing to let his infield help him out behind him. Churio with a wicked turn on a curveball on the inside part of the plate. Once again, swinging out of his shoes, much like he did on his tap out to the pitcher. And he can't make contact. Followed up by another curve, this time on the outside part of the plate. Thomas Ireland working east to west well. He gets ahead of Churio. The 0-2, just able to foul it off. He was far outside the plate, but with good movement, and Churio knew he had to battle. Maryland gets the sign from Brock. The fastball sails just high up on him, nearing the top register of the strike zone. 1-2 count to Churio. His good eye learned him another pitch. Churio. 74 walks to just 61 strikeouts on the season. Pretty impressive mark. Not going to find a more patient hitter in this Hillcat quarter, but you can add a strikeout to his name. Ireland goes back outside with a bender, much like he did on the two-strike pitch, almost identical in pitch profile. And once again, Churio leaves it. It's his 62nd strikeout on the season, the second of the game for Thomas Ireland. Two down for Luis Moreno, the same situation he found himself in the bottom of the first. And he would keep that inning alive, lacing a line drive into shallow left center. The first base hit the Hillcats would find. The 0-1 to the first baseman is fouled back off the screen. 0-2, Ireland looking to get through another frame in record time. Morejo, assuming the primary first base role after Ralphie Velasquez was called up to Lake County. Velasquez, the first round pick of the Cleveland Guardians in 2023. This start an affiliated Major League Baseball game right here with the Hillcats this season. He slashed 243, 362, 414 with 10 home runs and 52 RBIs while in Lynchburg with 32 extra base hits. Safe to say it wasn't a success. Not too bad of an affiliated minor league debut, if you ask me. And now Ralphie looks to continue that success in Lake County. The 2-2 to Morejo is skied to center field. Charging in is DeJesus, as he will call off the middle infielders to make the grab in shallow center. 1-2-3, go down the Cats, as the Ducks will head to the top of the fourth inning. And we played three strong here in Lynchburg. When we come back, we'll take a look around the Carolina League as we glance over the out-of-town sports. Charleston, Kannapolis, 2-0 lead for the River Dogs as they look like they could be well on their way to another Carolina League playoff berth. In the first half of the season, it looked like finally time might have caught up with Charleston, but in the second half, they've looked like the River Dogs of old. Bottom first, Salem and Fredericksburg, no score. Same with Carolina and Delmarva. Columbia, they strike in the top half of the first against Myrtle Beach and lead it 1-0. Fayetteville and Augusta, no score in that game as well from SRP Park in Augusta. Julian Brock singled in the top of the second. 1-for-1 day, he's working. Kyle Scott will work a 1-1 count against him in the top of the fourth inning to get us started here in the fourth frame. Scott Gunn. 3 innings, 2 strikeouts, no earned runs, no walks, 1 hit by pitch. As Marcus Torres, was plunked in the top of the third. Scott pauses. It's 1-2. Sliced into foul territory. That will get up on the concourse on the right side. Lynchburg 6-4 in their last 10 games. 4 games is all the Cats would get through in their scheduled 6-game road series in Fayetteville, and they would take 3 of those 4 contests. Over the head of Reebok in left field as that ball was stung by Brock. Reebok looked like he had it in his tracks, but looks like he misplayed it at the last second. He was 2 steps or so too far in, and as he was seemingly camped, what he thought was under the line drive, it just barely gets over the webbing of his glove, so it'll go down as a double for Julian Brock, who now has a 2-for-2 multi-hit contest with a single and a double, both to lead off the inning. Rafe Parrish will now bat with a runner in scoring position and no outs in the inning. First pitch strike from Kyle Scott to rebound. The 0-1 to Parrish. Laced into right field. Tommy Hawk has it in its tracks. Loud contact, but doesn't come back to bite Kyle Scott. 1 down for Pablo Guerrero. Julian Brock still in scoring position after his leadoff double. Guerrero 0-for-1 after grounding out to Francisca at short. 3 hits for the Wood Ducks, 2 for Lynchburg. First pitch, slider outside for Kyle Scott. Ball 1. The 1-0 into left field, hit high and deep. Reebok makes a fantastic leaping outstretch grab to make up for the misplay to lead off the inning. That was extra bases and surely a run had Reebok not made that grab. He was heading back to the warning track, just barely on the track. At the last second, threw his glove up there and was met with a baseball in his mitt. 2 down for Kyle Scott, although all the contact in the top of the fourth has been loud. Line drive sprayed all across the ballpark. Yuremi Cabrera would like to keep that trend moving. First pitch once again outside. This time Scott goes with a fastball. He led off Parrish in a similar fashion, went away. That time with a slider. It's the same result on both occasions. 1-0 count for the Wood Duck hitter. Popped up by Carrera. It'll get fouled. Two down, one on. In scoring position, Julian Brock leads off second. Yuremi Cabrera pops one lazily into left field. Reebok will get a break. It's a can of corn for the left fielder to end the inning. Everything in the outfield, the double, the 2 lineouts, and the pop fly as Kyle Scott cautiously tiptoes through the heart of the Wood Duck order to keep things scoreless. We haven't found a run yet. The pitching duel between Kyle Scott and Thomas Ireland here in Lynchburg as the Cats will grab the bats and head to the bottom of the fourth inning.
Alright, fans, it is time for the children's ministry of Lynchburg, Smile Man. Let's see those pearly whites. Oh,
take some innings, or do you would you rather not? Okay.
Go as normal.
Okay. Sounds good.
But I'll be back on with you.
Okay, sounds good.
I need a decompress after.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Plus, if you're not here the next 3 days, I got plenty of innings to make.
That's true.
I need to catch up on my book.
Yeah, you want to take a look at my book?
Yeah.
Thomas Ireland back on the mound for Lynchburg as Christian Knapchick will be the first to greet him. Knapchick reached via the hit by pitch in his first plate appearance. He leads the team in that department. He talked about it in his first at bat. He's an on-base machine. On-base percentage nearing 390 on the season. Not your typical four-hitter, that's for sure. He's in the cleanup spot today. He only has one home run on the season, and it did come against Down East in the first series of the Hillcats campaign against the Wood Ducks. We haven't seen that power in that form come quite back for Knapchick. He does have 19 extra base hits on the season.
Not only was it the first series against Down East, it was the first game of the season that he opened up his power surge, the only one we've seen. But ever since then, he's kind of lost a little bit of that, but he has been able to plug gaps and pick up some extra base hits, especially the double.
The Wood Ducks taking that opening series 3-0, sending Lynchburg back home for their first homestand, a bit deflated. It would take a while for them to shake off the rust and get in the win column against Fredericksburg. On the year, Down East controls the series 6-3. Fastball right down the middle as Ireland will bring the count full. Knapchick seemingly taking just about all the way. The 3-2 offering up by his eyes, and he can't keep up with the fastball. Blew it right past him as Christian Knapchick goes down for the first time tonight, swinging.
Very uncharacteristic to see Knapchick chase a pitch that high up in the zone. He just was not able to lay off on it. Instead, it's out number one.
Tommy Hawk grounded out to the pitcher in his first plate appearance. It's a curveball in the first pitch here in his second at bat. In the right-handed hitter's batter's box for ball one. Tommy Hawk gets ahead in the count, as he so often does. His batting average at .274, helped out a lot by a good series against Fayetteville, including a 3-for-3 day in his last game and a walk as well. Four plate appearances in a 7-inning affair, and he got on every single time against the Woodpeckers. The 2-0 pitch grounded up the middle, fielded by Vargas, the shortstop, as Tommy Hawk tried to beat it out down the line, but got just in time.
It looked to me there that Guerrero did not look very comfortable at first base. It seemed like he was either trying to find a bag with his foot or trying to figure out how to even place them. We don't get to see much of the Wood Ducks, but Guerrero is listed as an outfielder. And he's playing first base, so probably not getting very many reps over there. We'll see if that comes into play later on. Wood Ducks, though they have limited the amount of damage that opponents have done, they do commit their fair share of errors as well.
Neil, 1-1, Benjamin. Ireland goes inside, just misses the mark, leaving the count up. Ireland's 1-1. Swung on, missed by Benjamin. He pulled the string on him. Just able to make contact was the third baseman back into the dirt. Lynchburg, also a team that at times can struggle with the glove. They have the second worst fielding percentage in the Carolina League. The 1-2 pitch just tapped foul. And Benjamin will stay alive.
And it seemed like for a while there's that infield mix of a couple guys that you don't want to throw guys over the bust. But guys like Ralphie Ramirez Jr., Fran Dewey, guys who just weren't necessarily as comfortable with their positioning, they were committing a lot of the errors that we were seeing that were racking up and stacking up. We saw some games where there were 4-plus errors, and that happened relatively regularly.
Yeah, felt like that would happen once or twice a series for a stretch. Give the Wood Ducks credit today. Ireland, he's been playing to soft contact on the ground, and the infield has been sure behind him. Benjamin will foul off another, this time down the first base side out of play, as he continues to drive up the pitch count. Left-hander Ireland now up to 58 pitches. He did go 5 innings in his last relief appearance for the Wood Ducks. The 2-2 stung on a line. Nice play by the shortstop Vargas, who has been a magnet over at shortstop. Lynchburg pounding him. Ball's on the ground, ball's on the air, and he's been sure-handed at every turn. Well, we played four. Still no score, as both offenses have been shut down by the starting pitching pairing. We'll see if the Down East Wood Ducks can crack the scoreline. Kyle Scott will head back out for another inning of work, as we'll join you back for the top of the fifth on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Up against Barroso, Torres, and De Jesus near the top of the fifth inning. Three hits for the Wood Ducks, just two for Lynchburg getting into the fifth. As for whatever reason, seems like Lynchburg, they'll go on road trips for different stretches throughout the season, and the offense will really tear it up, whether that's the long ball or just consistent offensive production. They come back home, and it seems like that offense stalls out. Now, hopefully that isn't the case for this whole series, but to this point, Jason, it certainly feels like that. You got to give credit to Thomas Ireland, who's been great on the mound for Down East, much like he was in his last appearance out of the bullpen. But this Lynchburg offense has been handcuffed by the Wood Ducks today.
They really have, Connor. And it's interesting you point out that trend. And maybe power isn't actually a good thing for the Hillcats, because they have a better record at home. They're 30-24 than they have on the road, where they're 23-26. And maybe this team just isn't made up to be a power-hitting ball club. Now, granted, they had some success down in Fayetteville with it, but it seems like in today's game of baseball, a lot of teams rely too heavily on the long ball, and the Hillcats do the exact opposite. They don't rely enough, and then when they do hit the long ball, then they get trapped in this, we need to hit more, and they overswing and they miss and strike out. And so if they're winning at home, I'll take the lack of power surge, though. Good home run call is always fun.
The 1-2. Sky high, first base side. Morejo calling it off. Just a couple steps from his own first base bag as he makes the two-handed grab for the first out of the inning. Another point that, again, I don't have the stats on, but just thinking about the way this team has been comprised and operated this season. Bank of the James Stadium, not an easy ballpark to hit the ball out of. So that's obviously a part of it. But also, when you talk about their home record as opposed to their road record, and also the home runs, the part of that equation, as Torres feigns to bunt. Fastball high, will pull it back to 1-0 count. Lynchburg's pitchers, as we've already talked about today, have struggled with giving up home runs a lot this season. And when you're playing in ballparks where maybe it's a little bit easier for hitters to have that advantage over whoever's on the bump, Lynchburg, much as they may hit more homers, might be snake-bitten even harder by their own pitchers allowing long balls on the other end. The 1-0 just misses the outside part of the strike zone as Torres will work ahead of the right-handed starter, Kyle Scott. Good pitch from Scott to rebound as it's a beautiful changeup. Torres, you saw he had it lined up at the top of the strike zone and it just fell right under his barrel. Beautifully executed. Torres in his last at-bat was hit by a pitch. He would get on. Make it all the way to third base where he would be stranded. And Scott would once again work through some trouble. He's had to do that in this outing. There's been some loud contact into the outfield, but Kyle Scott's been able to maneuver his way past all the trouble. And he's on his way to doing it again here in the top of the fifth. Strike three, outside part of the plate, as Torres goes down looking, and Jose De Jesus will potentially be the last hope of the Wood Ducks here in the fifth, as the leadoff hitter 0-for-2 coming into his third plate appearance hopes to keep the inning alive.
Even though Scott has had to work out of trouble in a few innings, he's done a good job of limiting his pitch count. He's about to go through 5 innings, and he's only at 60 pitches to this point in time. And that's efficiency. He's a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 weeks, but he looks like a guy who's fresh and ready to go and has come prepared.
Juan Benjamin, cheered on by his boys in his dugout as he grabs the pop fly just a couple steps from his home base. As Lynchburg once again breezes through the half of the inning. He'll grab the mass and head towards the bottom of the fifth. We're still scoreless here in the Hill City.
But he's been celebrating 35 years of representing the true spirit of amateur athletics and keeping our community healthy. Visit CommonwealthGames.org for more information on upcoming events.
Kyle Scott has been phenomenal on the side of the pass for the Ducks. Can't complain about what you've gotten from Thomas Ireland as well. He's looking to complete his 5th inning of work, which would put him at a 10 straight inning scoreless streak. Reebok, first pitch, swinging high hop to the first baseman, Guerrero, as he'll take it to the bag himself for the first out of the bottom of the fifth. Reebok goes down on just one pitch. His Ireland pitch count, much like Kyle Scott, as you noted at the end of the last half frame, Jason, is also in a very manageable spot, just 61, and already with one down in the bottom of the fifth.
When you looked at the numbers before the game, you thought this could be a game where the pitchers kept their pitch count pretty low. You have a team that doesn't strike out very much, but has struggled with contact in recent weeks in the Lynchburg Hillcats, and a team that strikes out a lot and struggles with contact throughout the season in the Down East Wood Ducks, and pitching staffs that like to rack up the strikeouts. So you kind of had a feeling that they were going to pound the zone, work ahead of hitters, and that guys were going to have trouble putting the ball in play and extending at-bats and extending innings, and that's exactly what we're seeing so far.
The 0-2 to Mejias. Flirting with the outside half with Ireland. It was a big looping curveball at 78. Doesn't get the benefit of the doubt from Michael Cross. Good watch from Mejia. So he's going to be a hard pitch to make contact with. One you really just have to foul off. The 1-2, Chap to the second baseman. He'll give way to the shortstop, Vargas, as he'll charge in and make the play in time. Two down, and Lynchburg continues to pound the baseball into the dirt. Ireland has been playing to that contact, living in the bottom of the zone, mixing it up with off-speed pitches, but Lynchburg hasn't made the adjustment to lift the ball into the air. We've seen the Wood Ducks do that. That one half inning where it got a little scary with a leadoff double from Brock, followed by three lineouts, really looked like they had found something out against Kyle Scott. Lynchburg haven't had that success where they've been able to drive it out to the green parts of the Bank of the James Stadium.
And some of that may have to do with the fact that you've lost a lot of guys the past 24 hours who are able to elevate the baseball. And Wilfredo Antunez and Ralphie Velasquez. Yes, Ralphie at times had trouble topping pitches over, but you look at Antunez, it seemed like everything that he hit was up in the air. Or a little dribbler out in home, in front of home plate. He was not looking to hit the ball on the ground, and he did a great job of getting the ball elevated. This would have been a game that the Hillcats probably could have used him in.
When you got Christian Napchick and Tommy Hawk batting 4 and 5, definitely two guys that don't mind putting the ground on the ball and beating it out. Fran Aldewey in that group as well, and he works a 2-2 count from the 9-hole. He's 0-for-1, flew out to left field in the bottom of the second. Just his second plate appearance here in the bottom of the fifth. Twos all across the board, 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 down. As Fran Aldewey will take a step out of the batter's box, granted by Michael Cross. Ireland stays on the bump. He's ready to go. His 2-2 is chopped foul. Aldewey will make him spend another pitch.
We've had a lot of good pitchers come into Lynchburg this season. We got a chance to have a front row seat for them, but a lot of them have been highly touted or heavily talked about. Nobody said anything about Thomas Ireland, mainly because he hasn't pitched much this season. But his last season had a lot of people wondering what he even had left or in the tank to begin with.
Right.
But through his first two appearances this season, especially tonight, we have a front row seat for what has been an outstanding outing from the left-hander. And this is the type of pitching performance that could set him up well for the final few weeks of the season.
The 2-2 from Ireland. It'll draw full. Good at-bat from the 9 spot for Fran Aldewey. As Ireland has broken the 70-pitch threshold. Seems like this year, Jason, to your point, whoever the Wood Ducks throw it on the hill. And that's been effective for them. The full count, up the middle. Backhanded attempt from Cook, and he can't keep it in the webbing. Infield single for Fran Aldewey. Hey, they stick with the ball on the ground. This time it works out. Seeing eye single that doesn't leave the dirt. We'll flip the order around as Bobby and Francisco will look to keep his 4-game hit streak going.
Sometimes it's better to just hit the ball hard somewhere, even though it was on the ground. Aldewey did just that, kept it out of the reach of Cook. The Hillcats had a 2-out base runner for the top of the order. And Connor, when the Hillcats were in town 2 weeks ago, it was 2 outs when the Hillcats had a lot of their success against Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
We saw it a couple times in that series where they put together a small 2-out rally for them, 2 or 3 runs, or stringing together a couple of hits. It's a team that, with 2 outs, because of the fact that they don't try to hit the long ball that much, you can't just pound the zone and hope that they swing and miss. You really have to keep your effectiveness all the way through the at-bat, all the way through the at-bat.
They're also so disciplined, you can't consistently throw breaking pitches out there outside of the zone hoping to get them to chase. They're just not going to bite. Thomas St. Clair, the pitching coach, will make a long walk back to the dugout. Another thing in that Fredericksburg series that was true for the Hillcats that seemingly is trending in that same direction here tonight is they waited later in the games oftentimes to really put a mark on the scoreboard. Big reason for that was good starting pitching as well for Fredericksburg. Lynchburg waiting to get to the bullpen to really start to put a hurting on the Fredericksburg arms. Fran Aldewey picked off, but he might have a chance at second. The slide in is under the tag, and the ball was dropped anyways by Cook. So Aldewey, very aggressive in his lead. The throw over from Ireland just gives Aldewey the green light to break for second. He has good speed. The slide was well timed, and in the process, the ball was knocked out of the glove of the tag, so even if it was going to be a close play, which it would have been for Tyler Green to decide, Fran Aldewey makes sure he doesn't have a choice.
That's a big runner in scoring position in a scoreless ball game. You're halfway through the game, and the pitching staffs have looked incredible so far. And you have the most dangerous part of the order with Francisco Churio and Morejo. One base hit, and the Hillcats could have pretty comfortable, at, in this type of game, advantage.
Francisco bats 361 to this point on the year, and he skies one into right field. Could be playable for Cabrera. He'll go all the way into the corner, and the play will be made by the catcher in the bullpen of the Wood Ducks. Pops out of his squad and makes the grab on the fly. There is a pitcher warming up for down east, as Francisco will have a 1-1 count with a runner in scoring position and Fran Aldewey. And to your point, Jason, this point in the game, every run feels all that more impactful. 462 on base, 559 slugging percentage for Francisco. Aldewey takes off for third. He gets down. Two swipes for the nine-hitter.
I'm loving the aggressiveness on the base pass from Aldewey. He's a guy that hasn't really done it with his bat since coming to Lynchburg this season. But if he can make a case on the bases to be an aggressive base runner, a guy that can put the Hillcats in an advantage, that could pay dividends not just for the Hillcats this season, but for his playing time.
Francisco works a 3-1 count. Exactly where you want him to be if you're Lynchburg. The 3-1! Ball four. Runners at the corners for Jason Churio. We'll see if Ireland will be the pitcher to stick in and challenge the short center fielder, I should say. It looks like he will be taken out of the ballgame by manager Carlos Maldonado as Ireland goes 4 2/3 of stellar baseball, but how good Kyle Scott has been. By the time his line is concluded, he could be up for the loss. We'll see when we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Nosco?
That's what I was going to run with.
Exit Thomas Ireland, enter Angel Nosco. Down East Wood Ducks will go to the bullpen as Lynchburg will have runners on the corner threatening with two down in the bottom of the fifth, looking to plate the first run of the ball game for Anosko, a guy who is making his Wood Duck debut. It's a situation where you're thrown right into the fire.
He's got a 4.60 ERA on the season in two separate teams. He's 0-1 and just over 16 innings. He struck out 36 in those 16 innings. He's also walked 12 between the Dominican and Arizona. He's a guy that you don't see this very often, going from the Dominican up to a full season affiliate in 1 year, but he's making that debut today with the Down East Wood Ducks.
Well, the Wood Ducks seem to have the Midas touch when it comes to starting arms. They're also their bullpen as well. Nosco can run it up there on the fastball. approach, I should say, the mid-90s. 94 on that heater outside to Jason Turio, who works an early 2-0 count. It's a tough spot to be put in to make your Carolina League debut. As he'll pump a 94-mile-an-hour fastball on the inside part of the plate for strike one.
You're facing arguably the most dangerous hitter, most consistent hitter in the Carolina League, a guy who has both pop and a lot of contact abilities.
The 2-1, nice block from the catcher Brock as he went off speed with a slider. It's a back foot breaking ball that it gets away from Brock with how freely all Dewey's been gallivanting around the base pass. You know he's heading for home, especially in a tightly contested no-score ball game approaching the sixth inning. The 3-1 to Turio. He swings right through it, off-balance tack, as Turio continues to really put in some healthy hacks in just about every at-bat we've seen from him.
That's maybe the biggest swing that we've seen from him yet, as he was trying to do some damage on that 3-1 pitch.
The full got him swinging. Jason Turio, two strikeouts to his name already today. Uncharacteristic, but it's a big strikeout for the reliever Onasco, in his first Carolina League at bat. He gets the Wood Ducks out of some trouble. Kyle Scott will approach the top of the sixth. He's already gone for his season high as far as any pitch goes, and he's been fantastic on the bump for Lynchburg. They're looking for another inning out of the right-handed stopper on Lynchburg O'Camp Radio Network. Game recap. It's been the pitchers and have certainly controlled things to this point. We can close the book on Ireland after Onasco comes into the game and strikes out Jason Turio in a much needed punch out for down east. First pitch to Vargas misses away for Kyle Scott. 4 2/3 innings pitch for Ireland. 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. His ERA remains at 0. As his first start of the 2024 campaign is a gem. On the other end for Lynchburg, Kyle Scott has been just as good. He's gone for 5 innings strong and keeps going. 3 hits, 3 strikeouts. His ERA has plummeted all the way to 3.16 already. And he's looking to put that number in an even better spot by the end of the night. 1 hit for Marejo, 1 for Mejias and Aldewey, the 8 and 9 hitters. That's been it for Lynchburg. 3 apiece on the other hand, as the Wood Ducks also have been able to put together 3 hits. One of them from Vargas. He'll send one into center field. Jason Turio will move over for the first out. The other two come from Brock. And he's got a multi-hit day on his hands. Let's see him in this half inning. But first, Casey Cook, 0-for-2 with a ground out and a strikeout with one down.
You talk about Kyle Scott. You mentioned before the start of the inning, he's now surpassed his career high, his minor league career high in his pitch. He's gone 5 1/3. And for a guy who has been in and out of the starting rotation, I was curious at least what we were going to see from him, especially losing Yorman Gomez, a guy who had been consistent. He lost Alonzo Richardson after the last homestand. And the lone remaining guy, or one of the few remaining guys who was picking up significant innings in his starting rotation at the start of the season, was Kyle Scott. Yes, you have Jackson Humphreys, but his pitch count was very limited. Kyle Scott was the only one that was able to really be a free thrower. And I wonder what we would see. And today it's been pretty sharp.
Priest into right field, Tommy Hawk, will give way to Jason Turio, who is just all over the outfield today, covering tons of ground in left and in right. Kyle Scott, unlike what we've seen from Ireland, hasn't been playing necessarily to weak contact on the ground. And some of that is just the swing path of the Wood Ducks and the way they approach in the batter's box. It's been a lot more elevated softer contact, and it feels like all of it just about has found the glove of Jason Turio out in center field. First pitch swinging for Julian Brock, 2-for-2, brings his average to .236, so send one onto the berm and right field out of play for strike one.
Now there's the story of Satchel Paige. When he was pitching, he used to tell his defense to sit down behind him. The way Kyle Scott is pitching tonight, the infield can take a seat behind him, but the outfield, they got to be on their toes. There's been a lot hit to the outfield, but so far, nothing to show for it from the Wood Ducks.
One count to the catcher, Brock. And he'll lay off a good curveball from Kyle Scott on the bottom half of the zone. Just missing the zone, I should say. Brock from Houston, Texas, drafted in the 8th round of the 2023 MLB draft by his Texas Rangers, although he's probably an Astros fan being from Houston, still being drafted by a team in your home state. A lot of ways can work out eventually. The 3-1. To the third baseman, Benjamin. He'll charge in, make the throw on the grass across the diamond to Morejo, and Kyle Scott has been superb. Six scoreless full from the start. Can the bats give him some help? The Cats are hoping so. They'll head to the bottom half of the sixth inning and look to give their starter some insurance.
This time, the Dodgers do a big challenge. Pretty easy. We got 45 seconds to steal that base and bring it all back. Are you ready?
Tommy Hawk, 3-4-5, due up in the bottom of the sixth inning. On the bump, after getting out of the bottom of the fifth, striking out Jason Turio, will be an NL Anasco. There we go. Having trouble with the last name of the left-hander.
You were in a different country all last week. True. We'll let it go.
Can't even blame it on jet lag. Luis Morejo, man, 3-for-8, 6 runs, 4 RBIs, 2 home runs against Fayetteville, 3 home runs already. He has only played in 2 series, 11 RBIs, 7 extra base hits. The contact has been impressive, but the extra base hit potential and the power we've seen from an 18-year-old who just barely turned 18 years old sure is eye-popping, Jason, and that's a guy that probably a lot of Guardian fans might not have on their radar yet, but should in the next couple of seasons because he's looked very special to this point for the Old Cats.
We looked at his numbers coming out of Arizona, and they were pretty decent, but they weren't anything that you were going to brag about necessarily. As Morejo, when he's arrived in Lynchburg, he has become a completely different player. In Arizona, this season, he only hit .250, which is respectable. But yet, remember, he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
Most 17-year-olds are still in the Dominican League. He's now 18 years old, and he is tearing apart the Carolina League pitching staffs.
He belts one into center. Heading back is DeJesus, and he'll look up, and it'll be off the wall. Morejo will pull in with a double, and there you go, right on cue. Why talk about it when you can see it in the full court?
It's such an easy swing. The power is just there. There's a lot of guys who are undersized and they try to swing for power. They have more power than they like show physically. For Morejo, this is a big dude. This is not some small Tommy Hawk-esque looking player.
Yeah.
He's 6'2", 185, and you could argue he may be a little bit taller and a little bit stronger than what those numbers may lead you to believe.
And at 18 years old, if you wanted to, there's room to muscle up on that frame as well. Not that it looks like he needs it. He just, like you said, smooth swing, not swinging out of his shoes, sent one to the deepest part of the park and one off the wall on a line just about. 2-0 count to Christian Napchik. As the second baseman watches too far away.
What amazes me is, in a scoreless ballgame, look at how shallow the outfield is playing. They are, at least the corner outfielders, are either middle of the outfield or even a step or two inside the middle of the outfield. Center fielder is probably about three-fifths of the way back to the warning track in the outfield. But you think in a scoreless close pitching duel, you would want guys to be playing a little farther back, keep everything in front of you. But down east, playing the exact opposite. They're playing soft contact. They know the hill count scouting report. They're trying to dink and dunk it all across the field. That's what they're playing for.
3-0, Christian Napchik keeps the bat on his shoulders all the way. Four-pitch walk. He's going to bring up Tommy Hawk. You did have room for him there. If you're the Wood Ducks, as pitching coach Thomas St. Clair will walk out to talk to his reliever. Especially with a guy like Tommy Hawk, I think you're okay with allowing a walk just because Tommy Hawk does allow him to put the ball on the ground. Now, the tough part about that is if you are looking to turn two, it's going to have to be quick because he is a burner down that first base line. But at least you give yourself a play there, some options to even maybe potentially look towards third to get that lead runner depending on where it's hit. Tommy Hawk, not a guy that lifts into the outfield all that much.
Get on the hill counts right now, and I know we talk about removing it from the game of baseball, but this seems like the perfect situation to lay down on.
Sure.
You're struggling offensively. It's been hard to scratch across anything. I mean, you only have four hits in the ballgame, and it's still scoreless. You've got two runners aboard, and one of them's already in scoring position. A bunt can get both of them in scoring position, and you still have one Benjamin due up in the city. I think that's a worthwhile play in my heart. If Tommy Hawk plays one now, he's a pretty good bunter. At least based on how they've kind of broken out of this hole on the mound, it looks like the corners are going to play in, maybe anticipating Tommy Hawk laying one down. And I wonder if that meeting was more to discuss strategy on a bunt than it is anything else.
It was a great opening into this game for Anosco against Churio to get that strikeout against a guy who almost never goes down on strikes. But you have to remember, this is his first Carolina League appearance. And he gets rocked by a well-hit double to center field by Morejo, then a four-pitch walk to Christian Napchik. Certainly could be the case to be made that he's a bit rattled on the bump in a situation like this. And he is getting squeezed a touch by Michael Cross. He continues to look to go to the bottom half of the strike zone. It's just not there.
It looks like Hawk's not going to show anything at this point in time. Six straight balls out of the arm of Anosco. And make him throw you a strike.
The 2-0, he goes off speed and it does the job. One of the few sliders we've seen from him. Having a tough time locating the fastball, goes to the slider on the outside part of the plate for strike one.
Now's an opportunity. You haven't shown him anything. You can still lay one down.
The 2-1 to Tommy Hawk. Far outside.
And now it's 3-1. Now you might want to rethink it. And I know Tommy Hawk hasn't shown a bunt, but I think now you got to forego that and swing away.
Looks like that's what Tommy Hawk's prepared to do. The 3-1. In there for strike two. Tommy Hawk, a guy who went on a 30-plus on base streak just a couple months ago, if that. He's a guy who knows how to get aboard, and that's what Lynchburg's looking for at this point in the game. Base runners. Nosco Kicks and fires the full count. That's going to find a hole on the left side of the infield. Fielded by Torres in left. It'll load up the bases, and here comes Juan Benjamin, one of the best hitters in this Hillcat order with runners in scoring position.
There's probably nobody better, at least over the last month.
Third baseman, number two.
Guys, one in this situation. Benjamin on the season batting 324 with runners in scoring position. The only one who has had significant playing time and is hitting better is Jason Churio. He's at 370.
Juan Benjamin will have another chance with runners in scoring position. Bases are loaded, but it won't be against Anosco. They'll head to the bullpen once again. Maldonado wants to mix it up, bring another reliever into this ball game to try to get past Juan Benjamin. Bases juice, no score, no down, as we're in the bottom of the sixth inning on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Simeon onto the mound for the Wood Ducks. Simeon 6'2", 160 out of San Pedro, Dominican Republic. He was a free agent signing in 2019. He comes into the game with the bases loaded. No outs and Juan Benjamin up for Lynchburg. He's got a 2-1 record, a 2.10 ERA in 25 and two-thirds innings pitched in 2024. Opposing hitter just batting 125. Against the reliever. Another absolute weapon in the Down East bullpen. And Carlos Maldonado's quiver is full of those. He's got starting pitching and relievers who have made a name for themselves in the 2024 season in the Carolina League. Left and right to choose from. Juan Benjamin bounces it to second. Going back deep in the hole is Cook, and he'll head to second. Tommy Hawk will be retired, but Juan Benjamin back at first in there in time with an RBI as the Hillcats take the lead 1-0. Runners will be on the corner for Barrett Reebok.
Benjamin did his job. It was a double play ball, but forced Cook to wait back on it. And it was eventually looking down the line. We're able to get it in time. These are the moments you have to capitalize on. You can't walk away. Even with just one run, you almost knew you were going to get one. You got to get two or three out of this opportunity.
Christian Napchik leads off third. Juan Benjamin at first. Good speed on the base pass for Barrett Reebok. Grounded out to second and grounded out to first against Ireland. There's a curveball. Has him way out in front. And Simeon in the driver's seat.
One balance swing by Reebok. He's been one of the guys that struggled to get going since coming to Lynchburg. An opportunity for him here, though, to turn the corner.
The 0-2. Got him swinging. Ball in the dirt. Blocked by Brock. And that is a huge, quick strikeout for the righty reliever. Make a lot more difficult for Manuel Benitez. to play Christian Napchik. A long fly ball won't do the trick. You're going to need something in a little bit harder.
It seems like Maldonado has pulled all the right strings at times this game. He went to the bullpen at the end of the fifth inning and brought in Anazco to get the final out with runners at the corners. And then in this inning, with the bases loaded and nobody out, he brought in Victor Semien. And he's done his job limiting it so far to one run. That's an excellent job by Maldonado on top of the pitching staff, being able to get out of some of these jams. Obviously, this inning's still in effect, but it's looking more and more likely that they may be able to escape this, only giving up one run.
1-1 count to Mejias. 1-for-2 today with a single. He did put it an RBI on the board on Sunday. His 18th of the season. In July, he struggled, just batting 114 with an on-base percentage of 139 through 35 at-bats. In August, he's turned a corner, although it is early. He would love back-to-back games with an RBI. 1-2 count. Christian Napchik 90 feet away. 1-0, Lynchburg leads it as the pitch is in the dirt and away to Mejias. It'll even up the count.
Benjamin took off well early, but was able to slam on the brakes. I think they were trying to get Simeon's attention to step off, and that may be why he missed the zone on that one, because the catcher, Brock, was kind of signaling a little bit that he needed to make a throw over.
He'll miss again, once again in the dirt. Juan Benjamin takes off. Faking the throw is the catcher, Brock. Christian Napchik, not fooled, will scamper back to third. But now for Mejias. Two ducks on the pond. Two in scoring position for the catcher.
I love that cautiously aggressive base running by Juan Benjamin. He didn't take off early. He did take off early, but he slammed on the brakes. A lot of guys just keep running. And that one, it was in the dirt, and he picked it up quickly and then took off.
The full count to Mejias. Sky to left field, playing shallow is the left fielder Torres, and that is caught. Ah! It looked like the shallow placement of the outfielder was going to come back to bite the Wood Ducks, but Torres on his horse goes all the way back. Three steps or so side of the track. Throws the glove up at the last second and finds a baseball in it. Lynchburg, they still played the first in the bottom of the sixth. They lead 1-0 as we head to the seventh.
What an outing by Kyle Scott. Six innings, three hits, no runs, three strikeouts. No walks.
Yeah.
How often have we been able to say that from the Caps pitching this season? They don't allow a walk. What'll be up to Robert Weigel for the top of the seventh inning? So he's 5, 6, and 7. Cabrera. Weigel on the season. It's been a bit up and down. He's 3-2 with a 5.60 ERA and just over 27 innings, 26 strikeouts, 17 walks as the right-hander pumps it in there for strike one. As an undrafted free agent out of FAU, the Owls, Florida Atlantic University, B01, missing wide, one ball, one strike, more known for their Final Four run 2 years ago in Conference USA, or out of Conference USA at the time. They're now in the American. That's the 1-1 up the middle.
right in the waiting arms of Francisco, who crowhops and takes the punch for one. The baseball program there can produce the same amount of talent that the basketball program. And it's tough when you're an undrafted guy. I mean, he got started late. He got signed right at the end of March and didn't get a spring training, didn't get to participate in all those activities, team bonding, go on during that part of the season. It's Pablo Guerrero swings through it for strike one. And lo and behold, by the 19th of April, he found his way on a flight to Lynchburg from Arizona. He did not get much time to get acclimated to the system before he came to Lynchburg and joined the Hellcats. Strike two as Guerrero down in the count. And in that first month and a half, he dominated.
Yeah.
He was lights out. It's the 0-2. Thanks. Swing and miss. Guerrero pulling a fastball down below the knees. The first strikeout for Weigert at fourth for Hellcats. And it seemed like teams were figuring out Weigert a little bit. He really works with two, maybe three pitches, a fastball and a slider most of the time. And it just seemed like guys were starting to be able to tee things up. Waiting back on the slider. Fastball didn't have a lot of movement on it. As that slider finds the zone for strike one. And his ERA just started to climb and climb and climb. And it plateaued, and it seems like maybe there might be a little bit of a swing back.
That's what Weigelnik is hoping for, along with the Hellcats. See, plunks Cabrera on the back foot. Talk about a back foot breaking ball, and it's exactly what that was there. But to your point, Weigelnik, not only was he solid in his first couple appearances for Lynchburg, his first three outings were completely scoreless. But like you said, since then, he was trending in the wrong direction. A big reason why the home runs, he's got four through just 27 and a third innings pitch. And his average against is nearing 300 at 298. So he just started getting hit hard. And the walks were an issue at time. But he's coming off a pretty good outing where he only went one inning. But was able to get out of that inning scoreless, one walk, one strikeout as well.
He had three scoreless appearances straight at this point in time. His last two in the month of July and then a one in August. That's popped up into right field, charging in on it as Hawk. He got a late break on it. No second baseman now because he was covering the bag at second. So Hawk hit the grab on the run and the inning comes to a close. It's time for the seventh inning stretch. 1-0 in favor of Lynchburg. And Hellcats trying to extend their winning way right back and forth. Lynchburg continues to ring
that. It's time to sing loud and proud. We want to hear you. Here we go.
Right in it.
Yeah. from a sprinter to an all-pro receiver with football coming around the corner. Over-the-shoulder catch, and certainly saved a run, if not more. With two outs, you know Juan Benjamin was getting ready to score as well.
It was a full count, too, so he had a head start. 1-0 to Aldui. This one high into shallow right field. The second baseman, Cook, will set his watch and wait for it to come down. He makes the grab.
William Francisca.
He's looking for his first hit of the night. Hasn't had very many quiet games since arriving in the Hill City. He's riding a 4-game hit streak. It's his longest hit streak of the season. It's very limited action. He bats from the left-hand side, chops it towards second. Off the knee of Cook and deep into right field it goes. Francisca around first will head into second. I don't think they'll give him a hit, but he gets a board on a botched play by Cook. That looked like it should have been simple. I don't know if it had a wicked spin on it or what. But
no chance
will take it.
Bat off late. Right between the legs. That can be what happens sometimes at second base when you typically are going back into the hole on a baseball letting it come to you due to the short throw. And the more time that baseball has to travel to you, the more risk you run that it's going to take a weird hop like that. Hits him off the shin, careens into right field. And Lynchburg, with a runner in scoring position for Jason Churio, who when you were talking about Juan Benjamin's numbers when batting in a situation like this, you talked about Churio leading the club with a near 400 average in these spots.
He also has 74 walks on the season. He has struck out twice tonight. 74. If you take a look at the numbers dating all the way back. So 1988, that's as far back as the MLB research statistics will let us go. Swung over top of by Churio, 1-1. The Hillcat record since 1988 belongs to Isaiah Green in 2022 with 97. Hillcat still have 24 games to go, and Churio is 23 walks away. Back gets away from the catcher. Down to third goes Francisca. Hillcats have 190 feet away. Simeon has backed himself into trouble. The infield will have to come in.
Cleveland Guardians minor league leaders in runs batted in. Jason Churio, he ranks 6th at 56 on the year. Number 57 could be at third base.
The 2-1. Missing wide. 3 balls and a strike. The outfield still playing really shallow, even with the infield pulled in. Trader just has to hit the ball hard in some position. The 3-1. Went breaking ball again, and I don't think they wanted any part of Churio. Once that runner got to third base, 2 breaking balls missing away. Churio.
First and third now for Marejo. 2 for 3 with a single and a double. For Simeon, remember we've seen him in a jam already. In the bottom of the 6th he came in with the bases loaded, and like we just noted at the top of the frame, got out of things with just 1 run across. He was great in his last appearance as well, with 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He's going to have to snake his way out of things again.
Marejo down the left field line, hooking toward the corner, and it's foul. Boy, Marejo turned on it. I don't think it would have sailed out of here because it did hit midway up the wall in left field. And it was about 3 or 4 feet left of the foul pole. Marejo with a loud strike 1. He's showing Simeon that he's not going to mess around. Sure, Simeon isn't going to either. Runners out the corners, 1 down. Up and in, that'll back him off. Marejo lets the ball on the inside part of the plate. So, may just be trying to back him off a little bit. To open up the rest of the plate. 1-1. Down and away, that gets away from Brock, and in the score comes Francisca. Around second is Churio, who holds there.
fortunate enough to lead two wild pitches in the inning by Simeon, allow Francisco to come home to score.
And an error is what put him on in the first place. Miscues were down east, what Lynchburg capitalizes on here in the bottom of the seventh.
They're looking for more. Still a runner in scoring position, only one out. The 2-1 to Marejo. He swings high toward left field, not very deep, heading toward foul territory. And they watch it fall! Torres and Parrish, Vargas converged on it. And neither one made a play. It landed on the warning track. And both of them just stood there and watched it. Neither one took control. I think that's Torres' ball all the way. And he got there in plenty of time to at least make an attempt on it. Moreno lives to see another pitch, the 2-2. Big swing and a miss. He went down and away with a breaking ball. Moreno strikes out swinging. Good pitch by Simeon. So a big second out. That's a situation for Torres in left field where you're going for a CR on third base. In that situation, you let it drop, especially in a close game. But the runner's at second, and he's not tagging up for third in that moment. I don't know what Torres was thinking. In the dirt, a good pick by Brock. Almost another wild pitch. 95 from Simeon for ball one.
Yeah, I don't think Torres was letting that drop for any strategic reasons. I think he was just misplayed. It ends up working out.
One out. Napchick behind it. He was sitting on a fastball, got a slider, and then had to try to swing. 1-1. Churio in scoring position for the walk and the wild pitch. 1-1. In the dirt again. Brock had to get dirty. That's four that Brock has had to smother in this inning alone. Or attempt to smother. Two of them have gotten past. Pittsburgh leading it 2-0. Bottom of the seventh inning here at Bank of the James Stadium. Beautiful night here in the month of August. 2-1. Check swing. It missed low. It did not go, says Tyler Green. 3-1. Napchick, 0-for-1. He was hit by a pitch. His team leading 13th of the season. Back in the first inning. Walked in the sixth. Simeon pauses, 3-1. Missing wide, ball four. Second walk in the inning. Simeon, he's having to work here. Against a guy who's been swinging a pretty hot bat, Tommy Hawk.
This has been a classic Christian Napchick performance. 0-for-1, but he's reached base three times. Hit by a pitch in the first, a walk in the sixth, and a walk in the seventh. His on-base percentage after today, depending on if he gets another at-bat and what happens there, looks like it very well could reach that 400 mark.
Two aboard, two away, bottom of the seventh inning. Tommy Hawk half the dish. First pitch misses high and wide, ball one. This seems very uncharacteristic from Simeon, just the way he's pitching away. He's 2-1 in the season with a 2.10 ERA. He's only walked 13 on the season. He's got two of them tonight. Brings his total to 15. That just caught the outside corner, says Michael Cross, 1-1. The umpires have done a pretty solid job this season.
Yep.
Not often we get to say that. 1-1 from Simeon. In the dirt, once again, Brock having to lower his chest. Keep that right at the plate. Two balls, one strike on Tommy Hawk.
It's not only the walks that have been uncharacteristic for Simeon, it's the wild pitches. It's just the lack of command in general. He's been making Brock work a lot behind the dish.
In the left center field, that's going to be a tough play, and that could plug the gap, and it does. All the way to the wall, Tommy Hawk can run for days. Two runs will score, Hawk around second. He's heading to third with a stand-up effort. Two runs come home, and the cult hero of the Hill City delivers once again.
You're not going to hear the Bank of the Game Stadium get much louder on a Tuesday night than the bases clearing. Two RBI triple for Mr. Tommy Hawk. Those are three huge insurance runs for whoever's going to take the back half of this game for Lynchburg, whether that's Robert Weigelnick or not. They can breathe a little bit easier knowing they've got four runs on the board.
Up and away to Juan Benjamin for ball one. Boy, Tommy Hawk has this city wrapped around his finger. After that July 4th incident, where he got in the face of the home plate umpire, sitting there running around, the city has just taken to him. The front office receives phone calls about how much they like Tommy Hawk. It's the 1-1, missing wide, two balls and a strike. And at the single-A level, it's hard for communities to buy into players for too long because they get moved around so often, but Hawk has been able to really win over the hearts of these Hillcats fans this season. Big swing by Benjamin. Almost got away from Brock again. 2-2. Connor, you mentioned the wild pitches. He's got two of them in this inning. He's only allowed six coming into today. So he's had a third of them in this inning alone.
You could very easily have two more of those if Brock wasn't as sturdy as he was.
2-2. Benjamin, high in the sky. Cook, secure. And the inning is over. The Lynchburg puts three on the board. They read it 4-0. We have the eight from the hotel for a good ovation. Specifically, Tommy Hawk. This episode of the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Top of the eighth inning, and a new pitcher on the bump for the Hillcats. As Robert Weigelnick's day is done, Lynchburg will now turn to Hudson Martinez. No hits, no runs, no walks, and one strikeout. Martinez has made one appearance so far this season. As he floats one into Torres that misses time for ball one. Martinez went two innings, two hits, no runs, one walk, and three strikeouts. And still can't debut. 2-0 on Torres. Martinez out of UC San Diego, left-hander.
Fires that low for ball three. Martinez stands 5'10", 180. Baldwin Park, California. He was taken by the Guardians in the 18th round of this year's draft. Pick 535. All four. Four pitches. One walk. And Torres will get a ball in the 8th inning. He spent five seasons with UC San Diego, dating all the way back to 2020 when he arrived in the beautiful city of San Diego. Pitched until he was a graduate student in 2024. Five pitches, five balls, Jose De Jesus, and the count 1-0. He ended up being a National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association Stomper of the Year finalist, the Dick Houser Trophy semifinalist, the College Baseball Foundation National Pitcher of the Year semifinalist. Jesus swings through it 1-1. And that's just one or a few of the many awards he ended up receiving as a graduate student in 2024. Guardians drafted him. Missing out wide, two balls on the strike. He led the conference, the Big West, that would be. In hits allowed, runs allowed, earned runs allowed, doubles allowed, and home runs surrendered. Which, for a Hillcats team that has given up the long ball, bringing a guy like that would be a tremendous benefit to the bullpen. 2-2 as DeJesus fights it off. Runner on first, nobody out. Top of the 8th inning, 2-2 our score here. Thank you, James Dean. Two-two. In the right field again, and DeJesus stays alive.
Martinez, the oldest of the new crop of pitchers that were brought aboard the Hillcats roster in the wake of the 2024 MLB draft. As a guy who's poised to be a late-game reliever, that maturity and veteran presence at the single-A level, well, that's something that can go a long ways.
I don't know what that swing was, but it worked for DeJesus in the right field, as that looked more like a honky pass than it did a swing, as he just lowered his bat right above the dirt and just flicked it on the ground in the right field.
Not sure if he saw the positioning of Christian Knapchick and Luis Morejo and saw a pitch on the outside half and said, let me just place this ball, because if that's what he did, it was a job well done. Christian Knapchick hugging that bag over at second, left a wide open hole in the right side of the infield, and DeJesus found it.
How often do you see a ground ball that doesn't even bounce?
Yeah.
That just rolled flat across the grass. I mean, obviously it had a little bit of bounce, but not enough to warrant any extra attention by any infielder. 0-2 on Vargas. Vargas has a double in the third inning. And that's it for him tonight. 1-for-3. Two aboard, nobody out. Top of the 8th inning here in Lynchburg. Martinez, his home debut, just misses off the inside edge. 1-2.
That strike zone feels like it started to shrink a little bit late in this game, both for Simeon on the Wood Duck side, and now Martinez as well. Not a bad pitch, especially with two strikes there.
1-2. Got him a chase. Vargas went fishing down and away. And that's the first strikeout for Martinez tonight. It's fourth of the season. Lynchburg up over 1,000 as a team after they picked up 2-9. Casey Cook, 0-for-3 tonight. Through the player bios, some of these collegiate roster pages, you find some interesting tidbits about different players. Left-hander paints the corner with a fastball for strike one. Martinez enlists his favorite sports teams as the Dodgers,
okay,
the Tigers, and the Bears. Oh my. The Dodgers, I get. That's chopped toward third. Backhanded play by Benjamin. He'll take it to third himself. I don't think folks realize just how difficult of a play, how heads up of a play that was for Juan Benjamin. Ranging past the bag at third, all your momentum carrying you away, your only play is to try to get back to the bag at third. And he just dove back and slapped his glove right on top of it to make the play and record the second out of the inning.
Taking away the lead runner in the process. I don't know how many five unassisted I've written in my scorebook. I might be the first for Juan Benjamin.
Liam Brock takes down the wave for ball one. But going back to those teams.
Yeah.
He's from California, so the Dodgers make sense. But the Tigers and the Bears, I mean, neither of them have really been national brands over the last few years. That's Ryan Fowl, 1-1. So there's got to be a story behind those two teams.
Favorite player, maybe? Some connection.
Maybe a family connection going back to the Michigan-Chicagoland area. And his favorite athlete is Giancarlo Stanton. He's on the Yankees. He's all over the map. 1-2 to Julian Brock. We'll have to ask Martinez about that when we get a chance to talk with him, hopefully sometime this week. How he landed on those as his three favorite teams. Tander checks second and fires. Driven into center field, Churio races over, makes the grab, and Martinez escapes. We head to the bottom half of the eighth inning. Lynchburg still leads it 4-0. Next up is Sarge from the Lynchburg Hill Tanks Radio Network.
Check out Premium Edge Design, Inc. for your signs, banners, and wrap services. They are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. The graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit them at cedi.biz for more information. Premium Edge Designs, custom designs for you. Dunn Tilton Walker is brought to you by KG Country, your home for the greatest country of all time. 1055 KG Country or online at kgcountry.com.
Be safe. Let me know when you make it back to Texas. Let me know when you make it back to Texas. What time are you leaving? What do you mean? Are you leaving tomorrow? No, I have power now.
What?
I have power now. I have power now. I gotta go. New pitcher on the bump for Down East. We have the bottom half of the eighth inning. Will be Anthony Susak. Susak on the depth chart. 6'3", 216, Sacramento, California. He was the 8th grade pickup Rangers. Susak. A tall, lanky right-hander. Barrett Reebok will chop it up to first base line. I want to take us through the numbers and info on Susak.
For Susak, played his college at Arizona. Cousin of Daniel Susak and Andrew Susak, who have some deep connections in baseball. But this will be his first appearance at the Carolina League level. After being drafted, like you noted, in the 8th round, he's originally from Sacramento, California. And according to the minor league baseball site, his nickname, and don't ask me why, is Tonko.
Yeah, Tonko. Has called strike three on Barrett Reebok as first strikeout in the single-A career of Anthony Sousa in his professional career. Reebok is stepped down the door on top 4-0. Manuel Mejia is stepping in. Story on a name like Tom has to be something. Played into that. This down and away for ball one to Manuel Mejias. He has a Croatian background, and his bio on the Arizona website says that he's a patriotic Croatian who loves following Croatian sports. That's fouled back to the screen by Mejias. One ball, one strike. And correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, but the Croatian soccer team a few years ago had an incredible World Cup run. I believe to the final. That may have been 2018. They've had quite the success over the last however many years. That's called a strike, 1-2. It's a good time to be a Croatian sports fan for Susak.
Yeah, they've had some good finishes in the FIFA World Cup. 2018, not too bad. Beat Greece, qualified for the World Cup. Finished second in their pool. Pretty sure Croatia, not too bad as far as the basketball goes as well in the past.
One-two pitch from Susak. He's chopped toward first. Under the glove of Guerrero. They'll hold Mejias at first, but another error on the right side of the infield. The Cavs get a one-out base runner here in the eighth inning.
If you're these wood duck relievers, you gotta be looking at your infield like you're with the love and affection Thomas Upperland got in Ireland. Continued to play weak contact, which Lynchburg was allowing in droves, and the infield was as sure-handed as ever for him. However, the error to the first baseman Guerrero this inning, and then the error that would eventually play to run from Cook in the seventh, both could be costly.
Brandon Aldewey swings through it for strike one. Aldewey 1-for-3 tonight. You know, everybody needs a side hustle.
Yep.
We both have our side hustles at this point in time. Well, for Susak, he's the proud owner, at least at one point in time. Strike two on Aldewey. Of a 4.91 out of 5-star rating on DoorDash with over 1,000 deliveries. You know, NIL, when that was instituted a year or two ago, that became the main way for players to earn some money. But Susak, he took the delivery route, the old school route. Working as a delivery driver. Two-strike pitch, fouled away by Aldewey. And that kind of motivation, he played college baseball, so you have to have a good work ethic there. But you think about where minor league baseball was just a few years ago. I mean, everybody out there had to have a side job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't necessarily need to anymore with all the readjustments as Aldewey tops it again. But that's the kind of thing that you would read about players just 2 years ago in minor league baseball.
Yeah.
With how little that they were making. They were making less than $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
Not the season, a year playing professional baseball. Now at this level, they're making above 50. Aldewey takes a high strike. He has some words for Michael Cross as he heads back to the dugout. Second strikeout of the inning by Susak. And officially closed the book on Simeon. He went two innings, one run. Excuse me, one hit, three runs. None of them were earned. Two walks and two strikeouts. I'll bring up Welby and Francisco. Try to extend that four-game hitting streak as that this is wide for ball one. Francisco reached on an error in the seventh inning after hit off the knee of Cook at second base. 1-0 by Suzak. In tight, 2-0. Ziska riding that four-game hitting streak. Most likely, unless things unravel in the ninth, this will be his last opportunity to extend it. He is at first, the 2-0. Upstairs, three balls, no strikes. Francisco playing the waiting game, though, not worried about that hit streak. No runs, four hits, two errors for Downey's. Four runs, six hits, one error for the Hillcats tonight. 3-0, Hillcats shortstop. And tight ball for the second walk. He's taken this evening. He's showing a good eye at the plate. Jason Churio getting an opportunity to pick up a hit of his own. He's over.
Churio, two strikeouts and a walk. He got one of the best strikeout to walk ratios in all of the Guardians walk system. He now has 75 walks on the year to 63 strikeouts. And with that large of a sample size, you know his discipline, the eye, is 100% legit.
We mentioned he's on pace to come close to Isaiah Green's 97 walk mark that was set in 2022. Considering he plays five games a series, that means he roughly has 20 games to try to get now 22 more walks to try and tie that Hillcat record since 1988. And we can just call it the Hillcat record because in the last 30 years, when they've been called the Hillcats. Two aboard, two away, bottom of the eighth inning. Churio takes the call and strike 0-1. This once again, the 30th anniversary of the Lynchburg Hillcats. Rebranding in 1995. Taken over by the Pittsburgh Pirates. The 0-1 from Susak. Missing in tight. One ball, one strike. Two aboard, two away. He is in scoring position. Francisca behind him at first. Right-hander. It's Churio to think about offering. It's 1-2. Found the zone. Churio will have to protect. Already two strikeouts on his docket tonight. Uncharacteristic for him. 1-2 from the right-hander. Churio up the middle. Played back on by Vargas. He'll race Francisca to the bag, and the inning is over. We head to the ninth. We've played eight. Lynchburg leads it by four. Right here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio.
Thank you to J&J for Landscape Supply Center for sponsoring the Hillcats Browns. Go to J&J for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs, located at 14179 Wolf Road across from the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmjcompanies.com for more information. The Lynchburg Hillcats are proud to partner with Sherry Lynchburg and collaborate help the athletes to bring the community champions program to Lynchburg for the 2024 baseball season. This program will recognize youth groups who have shown exceptional levels of hard work, determination, leadership, and sportsmanship. Participating groups will be recognized during the Lynchburg Hillcats home game through complimentary tickets, a PA announcement, and a group photo on the Hillcats video board. To learn more about the Community Champions Program, please reach out to us at 434-528-1144. That's 434-528-1144.
Fans, Paul Hot Food now $2. Paul Hot Food is $2. The concession stand while supply is last.
A new pitcher on the bump for Lynchburg, and a slightly different arm slot than we're used to. It's been a long time since we've seen a submarine pitcher come through Lynchburg. But that is exactly what we're going to see from Cam Schulke, Mississippi State, as he takes to the bump. Miller, take us through the numbers on this.
Schulke, he's made just one appearance with Lynchburg. He went one inning and struck out two of the three batters he'd seen. No hits, no walks, just two strikeouts on his line. You said it. He's got that classic submarine style out of the bullpen. A lot of guys have made a living doing that, coming out of the bullpen with that type of delivery. And Schulke, from what we've seen from him, it's worked. His inning with the Hellcats was just about perfect. And Jordan Smith is hoping for another one to send Lynchburg home with a win here in Game 1.
He's also looking for an explanation as for where that first pitch missed. As that one found the zone, but it looked farther off the plate than the first one. 1-1. Schulke out of Mississippi State. But he grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Right-hander. That time a bit more sidearm in his delivery. 1-2. 2-1 as it missed downstairs.
Yeah, that's interesting. You don't see guys often change their arm slot. His first two pitches were complete submarine. The other one was more three-quarters.
Yeah. I would say three-quarters is a pretty fair bet. You see guys change their motion.
Yeah.
And looks like they did attribute an automatic ball at the start of that count. That's why that's ball four. We missed that. Trying to track down the number of the starting pitcher. Rarely do you see anybody change arm slots, at least not intentionally. Guerrero swings through it for strike one. He's from the College of Central Florida as well before transferring as a junior to Mississippi State. Drafted by the Guardians in the 19th round this past year. Throw over to him first, and they say he did not get Parrish. The crowd starting to show some frustration with the umpires. That's why you can't ever give them a compliment. Say one nice thing, and all of a sudden the calls go the other way. .1278 on hand tonight at the ballpark. Looking at Schulke's numbers, he has been everywhere. He played four seasons of college baseball, four different universities. That's like Adam Tulloch, who played for seven teams in 8 years, stretching back into high school.
Wow.
Tulloch was with the Hillcats last season. He was at Florida Gulf Coast. He got redshirted before the start of the season. Then he went to Northwood. It's that shallow in center field. Napchick backpedaling, makes the grab on the road. And at Northwood University, he would transfer to the College of Central Florida. And they won the National Junior College Athletic Association Division I National Championship. He appeared in 32 games of their 63 that they had that season. Went 9-1 with 8 saves. Throw over toward first. And Harris back standing as Jeremy Cabrera 0-2 steps in. And then finally, he transferred to Mississippi State in 2024 for his junior campaign. Missed inside for ball 1-2 Cabrera. That's where he would wrap up his time. So he's been all over. That's chopped. Diving attempt by Schulke. He comes to first to retire Cabrera. Who said pitchers aren't athletes? He ranged off the mound on the first base side and dove to get on top of it. Flipped it over to Moreno. for out number two.
Surprised he didn't sidearm the flip, but it was a fantastic dive off the mound. Christian Knapchick was fired up about it. Love to see a pitcher field his position.
Sidearm missed wide for ball one. Once again, changing those arm slots. There's Schalke. That's a new one. 1-0, missing low. 2-0. So the Down East Wood Ducks down to their final out here on this Tuesday evening. Game one of this six-game series. Game two tomorrow, 6:30. Connor will give you the preview of that one coming up in our post-game show. Schalke trying to keep this a shutout for the Hillcats. They've had quite a few of those. Beautiful. Beautiful pitch. I'm not sure even what that was. It's hard with that arm slot.
Yeah. It's a weird movement. Ball was fluttering. Came in at 70 miles an hour.
That's about as close to a knuckleball as I think I've ever seen in this level. The 2-1. Went with a slider. Oh, that looked good. 2-2. Schalke fell down the count 2-0. Now it's 2-2. Runner in scoring position. Two down, top of the ninth inning. The right-hander pauses, breathes, fires. Out wide, full count. I can't get over that pitch.
It's a UFO, unidentified flying object.
Well, the payoff pitch, Schalke with a long look in. He's going to have to step off and gather his breath as pitch clock was winding down. Now he comes set. Right-hander checks second. Payoff. Slider popped up behind the dish. Mahias looking, tracking, and into the net it goes. Try again. Back to second will go Parrish. He got aboard with the walk.
We haven't seen much of anything faster than 85 from Schalke, but everything just has wild and wacky movement from that arm slot.
The payoff pitch hung up there. Another 70-mile-an-hour floater. This one into right field. Hawk will settle it. Throughout the ball game. Another shutout for the Hillcats.
We have to recap it all on the
Lynchburg Hillcats. We will be back tomorrow at 6:30 for Weenie Wednesday. It's Kate Powell at Lynchburg.Hillcats.com.
Toss it down to our Hillcat hero tonight,
Kyle Scott.
Kyle Scott, 6-8 switch, 3 hits allowed, no walks, no runs, fantastic day, man. So what is the relationship like between you and a catcher? How important is that? What do you mean
to that? Very important. We're really close in our motto. We just talk every day, we talk about the game plan, and just showing the working on what we're working on. And then,
And one last question while you're still here about it. What's your advice you give to some of the new guys here in the clubhouse?
Sure, just be yourself, have fun, and take a soak it all in. That's all I got.
Soak it all in. Appreciate you, brother. Good job.
Well, he's soaking it all in the Gatorade bath right now. 4-0 and Lynchburg wins it today. Kyle Scott, what a performance from him. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. He's tonight's Goatman hero. Let's take a look at how it played out across the ball game. It was scoreless through 5.5. As Kyle Scott would work 6. And then in the bottom of the 6th inning, Luis Moreno would open up the inning with a double. Napchick would walk. Tommy Hawk would single to move the runner down to 3rd. The bases would be loaded. A Juan Benjamin fielder's choice would drive home Moreno. That would be the only run they would get in. Nobody out. The bases loaded in that inning. But then in the 7th inning, Hillcats would find a better stroke of luck. Francisca would get aboard with an error. And then Jason Cherio would walk. And 2 wild pitches would bring Francisca around to score. Christian Napchick, he would walk as well, putting runners out 1st and 2nd with only 1 out for Tommy Hawk, who with the outfield playing shallow, a gapper in the left center field for a stand-up triple for Tommy Hawk as he picked up 2 RBIs, making it 4-0, and from there the bullpen would shut the door. Martinez and Schalke and Weigelman, 3 innings of one-hit baseballs and shutout one-hit baseballs. The Hillcats win it today 4-0. Pretty solid day all around for the Caps.
Yeah, Tommy Hawk's triple really blew things open, although by the time it was all said and done, looking back, all they needed was the lone run on the wild pitch that would score Francisco. Kyle Scott, deservingly so, the Hillcat hero for today. He certainly deserves that Player of the Game nomination. He carried Lynchburg a fantastic start, his best of the season. It was good to see some new guys out of the bullpen like Martinez, like Schalke. They got the job done as well in their own way. And then Weigelnick puts together another shutout one-inning performance. I believe that's now 4 1-inning scoreless frames consecutive for Weigelnick. So it checks all the boxes for Lynchburg and gets them their first win of the new series. Love to keep that momentum rolling into Wednesday.
4-0 one more time. 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 errors for Downey. 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 error for the Hillcats. As Lynchburg picks up a much needed win to open up the series. Well, I'm going to step aside, and when we come back, Connor Young will take you the rest of the way on the post-game show, giving you a look at tomorrow night's game and a look at what's happening around the Carolina League here tonight. One final time, 4-0. Lynchburg over Down East here at Bank of the James. I'm Jason Brill saying good night, God bless, and go Hillcats.
Smiling and the 2-2. Swung in and ripped to deep left, away back, way out of here. A prodigious blast beyond the porch and left, and the Guardians have a 2-1 lead here in the 6th. And Noel, a ditch number 8, hit it 430 feet.
Four to nothing shutout for Lynchburg as they take game 1. Let's take a look around the Carolina League. Charleston, Kannapolis, 3-0, a shutout as well. At Atrium Health Ballpark, this time enjoyed by the River Dogs as they take one over their South Division rivals. Shaping up, or those could be the two teams headed out of the South as far as the playoff goes in the Carolina League. Kannapolis, the first half winner, Charleston on their way to winning the second half, although they are being chased by Columbia just 2 games back. as of now. Salem and Fredericksburg, top seven. 7-1, the Freddies put the hurting on the Red Sox as Carolina and Delmarva go to the bottom of the eighth inning in a 2-1 lead for the Mudcat. Columbia, Myrtle Beach, tied heading into the eighth, along with Fayetteville and Augusta also on their way into the eighth frame. 3-1, Augusta with the lead over the Woodpeckers at home at SRP Park. Let's take a look at the standings. Again, a lot of this will be shifted around as more games go final. But as of now, Fredericksburg in the first place in the North at 26-16. Salem in second, two games out. Carolina, just a half game from Salem at 2.5. Downey's three games out after their loss today. Lynchburg in the fifth spot, 5.5 games from catching the Freddies at 20-21. Delmarva, 17-25 in the basement of the North. In the South, Charleston, 25-15 for the lead. Columbia currently three games back. They're in a tie game against Myrtle Beach. That game has not finished for Charleston's half, so a win for Columbia would put them back at two games out. Myrtle Beach in third place, Fayetteville in fourth, Kannapolis in fifth, and Augusta in sixth. Well, let's take a look at our starting pitching pairing for tomorrow, Game 2 on Wednesday, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The pregame show starting at 6:10 p.m. with Jason Prill, who will get you ready for start time of 6:30. Josh Trentadue for the Wood Ducks will get the start, 3-4 with a 4.79 ERA. Looking at the slate for the Wood Ducks as far as their next five starters go for this series, Trentadue looks like he could be the weakest on paper. We'll see if Lynchburg's offense can exploit that, much like they did against the Woodpeckers one series ago on the road. For Lynchburg, it'll be Herviso Faro, who's got a 1.80 ERA through just two starts in a Lynchburg uniform. He's one of the newer faces in that Lynchburg locker room, although with all the even newer recruits, it feels like he's becoming a veteran. He's been good on the bump for the Hillcats every time they've needed him in his short tenure in the Hill City. He'll get another start at the Bank of the James Stadium tomorrow night. Well, for Jason Prill, I'm Connor Young saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the final score is 4-0 Lynchburg Hillcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.